This year went by so fast, the fastest ever. Christmas Eve, 2025, and I'm your chronicler, Alex Jones.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We are hurtling into the future together. There's a lot of big challenges, but humanity's not being caught flat-footed. We are rising to the challenge. The globalists declared war on us, and we have accepted the challenge. Well, here we are on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2025. And I am so thankful to the viewers and listeners, the activists out there. You're not spectators. You are men and women in the arena. And I want to salute you for being part of this fight, which is not possible without you. Your word of mouth, your prayer, your intel, your financial support is beyond critical. And look what we've done together. And I want to thank the crew and my family and everybody else, but most importantly, God above, for giving us free will. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, sent here to die for our sins so that we would be forgiven. I am beyond thankful and most thankful, obviously, to God. And I wanted to just say that up front here today and just appreciate all of you and what you've done. Because, yeah, we've still got big fights ahead of us, and, man, it's a struggle. But if you think back over the years, how few people were awake before, we have really moved the needle a long way. And it's been God that's been involved in that, not just involved, literally in control of that the whole time. So what an incredible time to be alive. I'm just so blessed to be here. Now, coming up today, we've got an amazing lineup of interviews for you. I know most of you are already super awake, some of you more awake than me, but remember, this is the spirit of giving. So on this Christmas Eve, take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones channel on Rumble, Infowars.com/show, and share it on your email list, your text message list, by word of mouth, and tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. All right, what's coming up? Well, Nick Fuentes is coming up. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, Alexander Dugin, Putin's brain, General Flynn is actually coming up next. After Nick Fuentes, then MTG, then Alexander Dugin. That is an amazing transmission today, and obviously a lot more. So start your engines, ladies and gentlemen, and be the Paul Revere's you were born to be. Share the live feed now from Infowars.com/show, Bandai Video, Real Alex Jones on X, Rumble, and more. And yes, I'm not funded by the Israelis, the Qataris, the Russians, the Chinese, the Democratic Party, the Republicans. I am funded by you, the listeners and viewers of this broadcast, and MyPillow and Kirk Elliott Precious Metals are two sponsors, but you guys are 95% of it. So thank you for putting me in the fight. Thanks for keeping me in the fight. That's where I want to be, but I can't do it without you. And we have some huge sales that are continuing, some new products. Over a year ago, we put out a questionnaire to the folks at theoxygenstore.com, the customers. We said, what do you want? What are you looking for? They said methylene blue and pure concentrated beef tallow that Kennedy talks about so much. It's so good for your brain. It's so delicious. Well, this is a private label, one of the top brands in the country, very competitively priced. It's put up by the folks at Bigley. Optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed. And we also, on top of that, have all the other great products at theologistore.com, like ultramethylene blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You've seen people talk about. Don't wait. Take action now. You're really missing out if you don't. And then creatine gummies, the highest quality type. You can look it up. We have it. Grok even says this is the ultimate supplement. I disagree, but it's the one that's the best known for stamina, libido, energy, muscle, all that. But that's the side issue. Creatine's really known for what it does for the brain, for people that actually research. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. And ultramethylene red, a limited shipment. So popular, proprietary to us, just came back in. A limited supply of ultra methylene red at thealexshowstore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Well, things are really coming to a head. Nick Fuentes is with us for the next hour and 50 minutes or so. Nick predicted a lot of problems with the new Trump administration, and a lot of those have come true. I don't think he did that to be mean. He did that to try to put pressure on him to do the right thing, because we need the Trump administration to succeed. But also, there's been so much great stuff that's been done on RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and the border, and that's escalated up, and now we see 2.5 million deported. But at the same time, the messaging, oh, the economy's great, inflation's over. No, it's not. You put in some policies that are starting to turn it around. And then Trump comes out and promotes the H-1B visas. That blows up in his face, so he backs off under criticism. You know, I mean, it's a good thing that we can see when we put pressure, we get a lot of course correction. But then you've got the mishandling of the Epstein situation, and you've got all these other things that are going on. And then, you know, Rasmussen polling's the best. They warned Trump. He was starting to drop 6 months ago. He's now basically the lowest point in his 9 years off and on in office. And then you got the Trump worshipers that get mad at me when I say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Look out. Then you got people mad at me saying just totally abandon Trump. And I'm like, oh, and then have the Democrats want to put me in prison? So it's like I'm in this lifeboat that's leaking. It's all I've got. So that's my paradox. I try to criticize Trump to get him to make the right decisions. I don't think he's playing 50D chess, you know, and he's God. It's very paradoxical, but he is set to address the nation, and I'll be covering it live tonight in a simulcast with Steve Bannon. He hasn't given me the exact times, but he's going on before, during, and after. So tonight we're doing a show. Just look for like 7:30 Central or so. Trump goes live at 8 Central, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So look for that. And they've been very tight-lipped. We don't know what this is going to be. If Trump comes out and does hours of all the great things they've done and cheerleading and it's the best economy ever and everything's fine, people want to be straight shot. Yeah, you've cut some energy prices. A few things have gotten better. A lot of great jobs being brought back, but it takes time. Don't do that. If he does that, I'm going to be even more concerned. Hopefully he just straight shoots people on a whole bunch of issues and rallies the public and says, ask not what you're country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And so I wanted to ask Nick Fuentes out of the gates, what does he think of this moment we're in? Because we have Susie Wiles in this TV interview, this Vanity Fair interview, and she said similar things in the TV interview, so I tend to think it's accurate, like shots of Elon Musk with him taking ketamine to relax and all these other statements, and she looks like she doesn't understand she's on TV, and then they take from that, well, is this the end of the Trump era? Well, want it to be the end right now, but we should think about what comes after. So there's a lot there. This is an administration in crisis. And we're not saying that to join the Democrats and create a crisis. We're in a crisis. You called the crisis beforehand, And so I want to get into it. And then we've got all these other issues that we'll get into you with on Islam and what's the main threat to America and long-term what comes after Trump. Nick Fuentes, Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Follow him on X as well. Nick, great to have you here with us today. And I know you've got your topics as well I want to get into, but first off, what is the state of the union right now? What does Trump need to do tonight versus what do you predict he does?
Well, I think the state of the union is very bad right now. When you look at what was promised in 2024, it was supposed to be a golden age, no new wars, close the border, all this sort of stuff. And I think everybody realizes at this point that that has not happened. And it doesn't even seem that the administration is trying very hard. And what's sad about it is it seems that the administration doesn't even know where to go after this. As you said, it is an objective fact. It's not subjective opinion. It's not blackpilling. The administration has its lowest approval since Trump got back into office. I think it's down to 39%. That's one of the lowest numbers we've had since the first term. And you see that the administration seems to not really know how to bounce back. And we talked about it shortly after the off-year election back in November. Trump administration is totally fumbling from one thing after the next, flopping around with the Epstein files. Then you have the Marjorie Taylor Greene leaving Congress. Now you have this post about Rob Reiner, who was brutally murdered at his home in Hollywood. And these are all things that not only are they not winning back the whole country, let's say like the middle or the coalition that propelled Trump into office in 24, but it's even losing Trump's most virile supporters, his biggest and loudest supporters, people like Marjorie Greene. Why is she not on the team? People that wanted transparency on Epstein files. Why are they not on the coalition? And, you know, stuff like that post on Truth Social. I don't know anybody that likes that. I don't know anybody that thinks that's acceptable. So
well, let's be clear.
The
administration, we love Trump attacking powerful globalists like Hillary, saying you'll be in prison. But it's an obvious no-brainer. I put a video out saying I was sad he was dead, because I generally was, even though I didn't like Rob Reiner and he'd gotten me deplatformed and celebrated and been involved with Brennan doing it. I said he was still a talented guy. I'm sorry he's dead. But even from a cynical view, say something nice about a man and woman brutally murdered by their son. Like, it's the dumbest move. So you have to ask about a 79-year-old Trump. I don't think it's dementia. I don't think he's, you know, but regardless, he's making very bad decisions. I mean, that is just as a microcosm. What a crazy PR decision.
Well, he's floundering. He's floundering. And I think, like we talked about last time, sadly, it seems like he has fully engaged the old playbook, which is that he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. The approval ratings are down. His base seems to be leaving him a little bit. And whenever that happens, he always doubles down on mean tweets, let's say, as a category. Not necessarily a mean post on Twitter, although that is how it is expressed and how it manifests. But he doubles down on cruelty, culture war, laying into his enemies, ranting on television. And that used to be a playbook that worked, I think, back in the first administration or even in that first election in 2016. But now it seems like he sort of lost his touch. It's kind of tone deaf. Whereas at one time he was bringing that fight against, like you said, the globalists, somebody like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Who's he attacking now? Now it's anybody that wanted Epstein files. Now it's Marjorie Greene, who is one of his people, who is like one of the first MAGA congressmen that rode that wave.
She made
after
that
his
point
original
yesterday. It's on record. She's right. He has all these Republicans in that vote against him, but they kiss his ass. And then she votes 98% of the time with him, but warns him. And then he turns on her and calls her a traitor. That is so stupid. And it hurt him bad in the polls. Like, that's dumb.
Exactly. And that's what's sad is you have these policy failures. And I agree with you in many ways. It's a long 4 years. A lot of this stuff is complicated. Trump is trying. And you're right. It's not all bad. There are some things that are good that are going on. And I think that people might have patience for him to follow through. But the problem is he's reacting badly to the poll numbers, and it's making everything worse. It's compounding the failure. So you have a first year, which is pretty lackluster and disappointing. People get upset. In order to make people happy, he starts lashing out wildly, floundering with really no strategy. And if there is, not a very good one. And now people are accelerating their exit from the party. And so the question is, does Trump have the power inside of himself to make himself new again? Can he renew? Can he get on a solid footing? Or is this just going to be like a miserable, long decline? Like
he was good the first 6 months, and during the campaign last year, year and a half, he was really good at not being the reactionary, manipulated Trump. Now he's worse than ever. Jimmy Kimmel had no viewers. He talks about him, boosts his ratings, empowers him. What is Susie Wiles doing giving corporate media interviews to Vanity Fair? It's like they just don't get it. And so the old Trump that had problems but woke up, got better, now it's back to the old Trump but worse.
Yes, and that was a big part of my prediction last year. As I said, he just hasn't learned his lesson. Because the first administration, let's be honest, it's not what anybody really wanted. He didn't really deliver the victory. And what I wanted to see in 24 is, okay, you've had a go at it. You've been there for 4 years. You made your connections. Are you now going to be able to go in and govern better, govern effectively? And I remember during the campaign, I saw a lot of things that suggested, no, it's the same old Trump. And actually, maybe he's probably worse. So it has been a big disappointment, and I think it's even more disappointing because there's such a mandate. There's such an opportunity right now, and you hate to speak about it in these ways, but Charlie Kirk being assassinated, that was actually a political opportunity to get things done, to tackle the left, which is trying to kill and persecute our side. And so to not only not deliver on this historic mandate when you win the election, but also then to pass up opportunities. And again, you hate to speak about it in those terms, but this is politics.
Let me give you an example. Like 6-7 days after, they bring up Charlie. I know people behind the scenes said Trump was very upset, all of this. And they go to Trump, they say, what about Charlie? And he goes, oh, never mind, look at the ballroom. And it was just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's true. We are under attack. The left's saying kill us. He should make a bigger issue out of that. Exactly. He suddenly went from making a lot better moves during the campaign in the first 3 or 4 months to running out Elon, doing all this. Susie Wiles attacking Elon. Oh, he's a ketamine head. I mean, it's just, it's bad.
It is bad. And it seems like that whole approach just failed because I like the Doge approach. I like the Elon Musk approach. I liked how they talked about operating, which is we're going to move quickly.
He had the highest ratings ever during that. And that's made the Republican establishment scared. And somehow they manipulated him to kick him out. And then the people want to Shirley Trump. Oh, you're a traitor. You're for Elon. I'm like, no, idiots. Elon is a freaking genius. We need him in there. And it's popular, you dumbasses.
Yeah, I think people loved it. People liked the idea of bringing that energy to the White House and actually disrupting. That's the whole point, is to drain the swamp, get rid of the deep state, actually shake things up. And you're right. I think that got too popular. Maybe too many people liked it. Or, you know, Elon wasn't playing the patronage system. He was going in there and firing people that were protected or felt like they were protected. And so they lashed out and said, no, you don't understand. That's not how things work around here. In D.C., everybody needs to get their back scratched. Everybody needs to get paid or whatever. And now we are back to that kind of sclerotic tempo that we had in the first term. And I think it'll be met with similar results. It's like we've been talking about. Midterms are next year. We almost certainly lose the House. We might even lose it earlier than that, sadly, you know, between now and New Year's Eve or in January. And then what do you do? Does it get better after we lose the House? I think it gets worse. So,
by the way, some listeners won't get that. If you have enough Republicans quit or leave like MTG, they're only down to one or two. They don't vote. They've already lost the House technically.
Exactly, because it's a 4-vote majority as of 24. They've had a number of people withdraw. And this is typically when people announce their retirement, is during the holiday season, on the off year. And so you're right. If they lose a few more seats, then they lose the majority and then they can't govern even earlier, even before 26. And, you know, that's not really a glowing endorsement. This is supposed to be the golden age and people are literally headed for the exits before the midterms even happen, before you even lose the election. So it's really
sad. All because
sad.
Trump literally slaps them around on TV. By the way, certain people have said, oh, MTG's not getting real threats. It's on record she has. I get threats. Guy tried to come and kill you earlier this year. And they're like, oh, she's making it up. No, I talked to her on the phone. And the police reports are there. They are under total assault right now. And she's literally, she's like, I'm not running for president. I'm done. She's like, I'm a successful businesswoman. I did my tour. You know, she's done. And people love MTG. I mean, that hurt Trump again. He probably lost 3-4 points doing that to her. Again, it's idiotic. And I'll say it, Trump, you're destroying yourself We need you to succeed, God Almighty.
It's really sad about Marjorie Greene. And you know what? People understand how she feels because we've all been on this train for 10 years. We've all been on this ride and we've all sacrificed a lot. The threats are real. The lawfare is real. The person, everything that has happened to you, to me, Marjorie, Tim Pool, all these people that have been under the gun. We've been fighting this battle for a very long time. And for Trump to get this opportunity, he's finally has like ultimate power, let's say House, Senate, White House, popular vote, Supreme Court. He really has an opportunity to move and he's just blowing it. And on top of it, then going in and attacking the people that helped propel him into the office for demanding the Epstein files, for not wanting regime change in Iran, you know, the basic promises. And so you look at someone like Marjorie Greene, she goes, well, you know what? Then I'm out. I don't need to have my kids threatened. I don't need to have my family threatened to die. If we're all in this battle for a leader who's not really leading from the front, she goes, I don't need this. I'm out. And you sort of understand it. Now, I think that you really can't give up. I mean, and I think you and I are on the same page. You have to fight it through to the finish. I don't know that we'd be doing anything other than this.
I was about to say, that's the paradox. We talked about the phone a few days ago. This isn't perfect. It's got problems, but the alternative, what do the Democrats do? They get back in. I mean, we got to talk about that. So there's got to be a way.
Right,
there's got to be a way to slap Trump around. Here's the question. Can he be reproved? Can we turn this around?
Honest answer, no, I don't think so. I feel like this is deja vu all over again. And I remember covering the first term until 2020 and saying, here's how Trump can still do it. We still have 1 year to do Section 230 or close the border, you know, whatever. I remember right up until the very end saying, here's how we could still get it together. And I think that it's him. Like, he is the problem. I think that he's not strategic. He doesn't have the follow through. His personality is toxic. I mean, we could cope and we can say, well, if we just push really hard on Twitter, if we just make some calls. Yeah, I mean, we could put pressure on the administration. That's really all we can do. And we have to do what we can. But what are the realistic chances we get Trump to snap out of it? He's an 80-year-old man. I think when you're 80 years old, you're kind of out of reinvention. I don't see a lot of people don't tend to change. They certainly don't change their ways at 80 years old. And especially when they're the king of America and no one can tell them no. So sadly, I think we're kind of just stuck with this and we have to just try to
use a full bore war with Venezuela as a distraction.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's doing, which is just straight out of House of Cards. I mean, it's like, that's
the cynical
play.
So let's talk about what a flailing Trump's going to do and the dangers of it.
So I think a flailing Trump, this is the war, you know, and there's been some sources that have said that he will announce a war with Venezuela tonight. This is just a classic. This is what you do. You get in trouble. You start what is considered to be a short-term, easy intervention, like George Bush in Desert Storm, or George Bush in Panama for that matter. You get an easy win, it's a slam dunk, and that helps you in the midterm. So I think he does something like that. And afterward, I don't know where he goes from here. I think he's just getting more and more bitter and angry. I think they might try. I think what they should do is a big push on their domestic agenda. I think they should try to use budget reconciliation
plus,
and get through.
But the polls show great in what we want. Even if he's doing domestic stuff, which he is, we need to hear about that more. Exactly.
Yes. And do what we elected you to do. Get a bill together that closes the border. It's law and order. We have to stop the crime in the cities. You know, an Irina Zarutska law, something like that. Do something about election fraud, paper ballots. I don't know. Get a domestic agenda together. Use budget reconciliation to the extent that you can, or one of these other deadlines, defense authorization, whatever, and get some legislation passed. At the end of the day, Trump has only passed 5 bills in his first year, 5 bills in the whole Congress. So there's just not a lot of governing that's happening. There's not a lot of policy. So if I'm Trump, I would say put down the phone, stop posting about Somalians and about Rob Reiner and all this other stuff, and actually govern, pass some executive orders, pass some legislation, actually create some policy. And then, like you said, make the case, talk about it, sell it to the American people, but they just have nothing to run on. You're going into the midterms with literally nothing to run on. I can't think of a single tangible victory, a policy-related victory, arguably other than closing the border. But that should have been a given. I mean, that should have been done a long time ago. So If I'm Trump, that's what I'm going
to
do.
What do you make of Wiles trying to put him back on the campaign trail? I think that's a really bad idea. It'll exhaust him, divert him more. We want action. We want policy. We want indictments. Real indictments, that makes us win. What do you really think about Susie Wiles?
I never liked her. I never liked her. And I don't think that her head is in the same place as Trump. I know a lot of people say she's not really the problem. Well, she's a lobbyist. She's a lobbyist from Florida, from this Ballard firm. She's in bed with all these other governments. And Florida is a swamp. I mean, it's a literal and figurative swamp. And by the way, she brought all these people in. These are all Florida people. Mike Waltz, who was fired for being in bed with Israel.
Bondi.
He's a Florida. Pam Bondi, exactly right. Rubio, who is pushing this war in Venezuela and then Cuba and then Nicaragua. These are all Florida people. Ratcliffe, I believe she brought in as well. I don't know that he's from Florida, but
just to be clear, you and I contextually, historically, under Thomas Jefferson, gunboat diplomacy, get hemispheric power. Technically, Trump can do this, but they're going to set him up, a new Vietnam, the CIA, they've already tried it, and they're doing it as a diversion. So that's why I'm saying they shouldn't do it.
Well, and not only that, but it is so much more ambitious than people realize. This is like a reverse domino theory where Rubio is like this guy. This is his presidential campaign material. He wants to be the guy that toppled Venezuela and then toppled Cuba and then toppled Nicaragua. As a Cuban American, his dream is like
and Mexico.
Right. The left wing regime in Mexico, maybe even Lula while we're at in Brazil. His dream is to like defeat communism and leftism in the Caribbean and Latin America.
And I would support that if it could be done. But I've looked at the angles and it's like you're talking about multiple Vietnams here. And then the Russians are sneaking around. They may the word is just like Cuba in 61 have nukes there.
Well, it's a jungle. It's a jungle. Venezuela's 30 million people, many cities. It's a jungle. Mexico's 130 million people. The Mexican government doesn't even have control over the country. Cuba's got special forces. Like, so I don't know that the American public is really ready to buy into this. Like, I don't even know what you would call this. Like you said, it's multiple Vietnams in the Caribbean. It's a much greater commitment than people actually are thinking about. And I don't know who voted for that. I think
it's a reverse Red Dawn. It's not Latin America with the Russians invading us. It's just invading them. And again, if Trump, I'd love to fix that if we had the CIA under control, but they're going to set him up for sure. I mean, I've already heard from sources of the Pentagon, the CIA is already leaking the attack plans to Nicolas Maduro. So we're walking into a trap. And people get confused by us because we're being academic saying we wish this was gone, but could it be done?
Well, that's the question. If you could wave a magic wand and have the entire Western Hemisphere align with Washington, of course, that would be in our best interest. And I would even support engagement with these countries to that end. But the question is regime change the way to go? Are you actually going to get the kind of order that you want, or are you going to get guerrilla warfare with drug cartels and Indians shooting at you from the jungle? Are you going to get narco-terrorism? Are you going to get something that is a lot more far-reaching than what you bargained for? And the record of history is that these kinds of coups and regime change, it doesn't actually work most of the time.
That's the key, is that these groups only have the drugs and things they're doing. There's no government, so you can't even come in and take them over. They're going to have to continue and fight you because it's all they have.
Exactly. What is the parallel structure? Okay, you remove Maduro. Now who's going to rule Venezuela? We're going to be setting up another nation-building thing like we did in Iraq. Just not a good idea. And it'll fail, you know. Should have kept their promises.
Well, yeah, I was on the fence, but I had my concerns that Flynn came on 2 weeks ago. And he said, don't do it. It's a setup. Nick Fuentes is on fire. We're going to come right back. We have so many huge other topics to cover. And I have things I disagree with him on. Stay with us.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I got a bunch of questions for Nick Fuentes. Big topics, really important stuff. That was a great first 25 minutes. And I was jumping in a lot because what he was saying I totally agree with. But I want to just give you 10 minutes of me shutting up here to finish up on Venezuela, what you think Trump should say at this address tonight versus what you think he's going to say. It's not even a prediction, but what you predict or your dead reckoning. And then I want to move into what will it look like if Trump fails and what do you think we should expect? And then how do we move on from Trump? If we're entering the post-Trump era, if this continues, and what is your advice to the American people and the people of the world? Then I want to look at the rise of Islam. I want to look at where Israel's going and so much more with Nick J. Fuentes. Nick, please continue.
Yeah, so picking up on Venezuela, we have this address tonight. I think, like you said, it's at 8 o'clock Central, and I don't know exactly what he's going to say. Like you said, they've been pretty tight-lipped about it. I saw on Judge Napolitano, Tucker was just a guest on that show this morning, and he said he was told by a member of Congress it's going to be a declaration of war. And at the minimum, that's going to be a part of the address, and we're going to war with Venezuela. And, you know, that would track because, of course, this has been escalating over the past few weeks. Most recent development is that Trump has effectively declared a blockade of Venezuela, or at least an oil blockade. He said over the weekend that the United States will interdict all oil shipments that are leaving Venezuela, and most of those are going to China. About 80% of Venezuela's crude is going to China. And this follows up from the seizure of the oil tanker last week. So he seized an oil tanker. Presumably we're going to take the oil. This weekend he said that actually all of the oil exports will be shut down, and that effectively destroys Venezuela's economy. And as we talked about with Iran, other conflicts, this is that maximum pressure strategy, and this is just the latest escalation. So it would be fitting if tonight there was some declaration of ground strikes, let's say. This is something they've been talking about for a long time. They've assembled this armada, this giant naval force. It's a carrier strike group. I think it's 10 warships in total, 10,000 troops, F-35 squadrons. They have been stationing in Trinidad and Tobago and Puerto Rico off the coast. And they've been threatening for a long time that all of these naval strikes, I think there's been about 25 maritime strikes against these little drug boats, killed nearly 100 people. They've been saying for a long time that eventually that will progress into targeted airstrikes on the ground at military facilities, airports, where there's drug trafficking happening, and they're actually going to bomb Venezuela's territory. Maduro's been preparing for that. They've been shutting down highways. They have been getting ready. So it seems that that would be logical that Trump would announce there would be some major action tonight. That being said, you sort of alluded to this earlier. You said it could just be an hour of Trump bragging about his accomplishments. And I think it's totally possible that it could also just be a load of crap. Because how many fake outs have there been this year where Trump says, I have an Oval Office address. I'm addressing the public from the White House at noon tomorrow. And he gets up and it's like, we have the greatest economy. The stock market is back. Inflation isn't real. Affordability is not real. So I'm sort of 50-50. 50% chance it could be a load of crap and it's just a lot of self-aggrandizement. 50% chance it could be a declaration of war on Venezuela. And then how it progresses, if I had to guess, I would think that this is just ratcheting up the maximum pressure. And maybe this is, this is just a shot in the dark. I don't know that he's announcing a swift operation to capture Maduro or invade the country. I don't think there will even be an invasion, strictly speaking. They have about 10,000 personnel stationed off the coast. It could be the case that they have put together a larger force covertly somewhere else. That's not enough people to invade Venezuela. You had 20,000 invade Panama, and that's a country that's a fraction of the size, fraction of the population, smaller military. So I don't think you're going to get a full-fledged invasion with that size of a force. I think what you might get is a tightening of the noose, and they're going to choke Venezuela off more. So they have the blockade. Now if they start initiating ground strikes, maybe there's some other covert actions by the CIA, which they announced earlier in the year would be operating in the country. Maybe they're looking at something more limited just to increase the pressure slightly more. And maybe that's the play. Now, will that succeed? I guess it depends largely on how they carry this out and how competent the military is. I don't have very high hopes for it. I don't think that, the military is really prepared for something like this. It came together very quickly. Military's not been extremely effective in the past so many years. You know, they're really good at dropping bombs from aircraft like they did against ISIS and like they did against Iran. But a ground operation, I feel like we haven't seen anything like that in a very long time. So the odds of success, I don't know that it's particularly high. And I don't know that that's even something the American public is looking for. Like we talked about in the previous segment, As always, this is the appeal to the voters before the midterms. If you're struggling on your domestic agenda, if you're flailing because of a domestic scandal, you always go for a quick and easy war, like we talked about with George Bush in Persian Gulf or in Panama where they did regime change, or even in Grenada with Reagan. You always go for a quick and easy layup, makes Americans feel confident. I don't know that that will even have the same effect. First of all, we don't know that it will be entirely successful or on what timeline or if there will be any kinds of complications. Secondly, is this really what the people voted for? I think the people voted for lower prices. People voted actually to end wars, not start new ones. I don't know that regime change was really part of the mix. I think actually we want the opposite. People voted for an end to free trade, something like tariffs or a more protectionist agenda, and we're just not succeeding on any of those fronts. So I don't know how you bring that to Republican or Democrat voters as some sort of huge victory in 2026, especially when almost everything else is looking really bad. The deportations aren't happening, as we've talked about. The economy's not where it needs to be. Many people are predicting potentially an imminent recession, a housing bust, the AI bubble might burst, have a lot of red flags and early warning indicators in the economy. So how much is that even going to move the needle? I'm skeptical that that's going to have a big impact. So this is the playbook. I think that if Trump really wanted to have any kind of recovery before the midterm elections or at all, I think you have to refocus on the domestic agenda. That is what people want to see solved. You got to get those deportation numbers up. You got to build a border wall. You got to end the war in Ukraine somehow, some way. You have to end the war in Gaza. It looks like even that is coming apart. You need to fix the economy. You need to do something domestically. Get a super bill together. Get an omnibus bill together. Use budget reconciliation, which they have for the fiscal year 2026. Use national defense authorization or whatever you need to do. Use one of those measures to get a super bill passed. Get Republicans and Democrats together and just pass something. Make life better for Americans. But I fear, and this is something you pointed out too, not only will that not happen, it may actually even get worse. Because as you said, according to Susie Wiles in an interview this weekend, she's going to have Trump campaigning in 26 like he was in 24. And a lot of people don't think about this, but the president of the United States, like anybody, only has so many hours in the day. And so if we're going to engage in this huge campaign in 26, Trump is going to be flying around doing rallies. The guy's 80 years old. You can't be doing four rallies in a day like you were doing in 2020. And if you do, you're not going to have time and energy for literally anything else.
And that's perfect for the deep state to come in and sneak stuff past him. I noticed Wiles 3 days ago in a TV interview says he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be back on the campaign trail. Then I see him yesterday. Well, I just heard I'm going to be on the campaign trail. He's literally admitting that she's directing him.
Which is so gross. The whole point of Trump is that he's supposed to be the boss. Who is Susie Wiles? Nobody elected her. She's a lobbyist from Florida. And you're right. He goes, yeah, well, I guess I'm going to be campaigning. She's the boss. And you make a good point. If Trump is out there on the campaign trail, first of all, he's already falling asleep in every meeting. And which is, you know, look, the guy's an old man. I think everybody would understand that. But now you can't be doing both of those things. You can't walk and chew gum at the same time then. If he's going to be running around the country, if Susie Wiles is going to be running him ragged, not only can he not focus on the agenda, but you're right. This is where he loses control of the White House, which is always the concern that the cabinet members, that the lobbyists, that the special interests, when Trump is out of the house, when daddy's not home, other people are going to go in the White House and they're going to be manipulating personnel. They're going to be manipulating policy. And so let's say, for example, Netanyahu is pushing Trump really hard on a war with Iran. And Trump, to his credit, put his foot down and said no for many months. And even when they wanted him to intervene in June, it was very limited. I'm not happy that he bombed Iran, but it could have been a lot worse. And that is just objectively true. And that's because Trump is in the driver's seat and he's got some people that are backing him up. If he's out there falling asleep on the campaign trail in Georgia or Pennsylvania or whatever, they're going to get stuff past the goalie. They're going to get things through because he's not going to be fully in control.
Well, and look at the psychology. They know he wants to win. And so they'll say, sir, we've got to do this. And yeah, it helps a little, but nothing compared to actual developments and things. And we know that they're always trying to hide things from him. This is like we saw in the first administration. So I'm going to say it right now. Trump, yeah, okay, go for Mike Lindell for governor of Minnesota, stuff like that. Pick and choose a few. But maybe do 3 or 4 events a month. But what we really want is action, and you address the American people, and you bringing out these issues. We'll give your advice, President Trump, because this is such an obvious trap. You see her power trip in the interview. I know you've seen it, and people haven't. We should play it. We can dig it up. She's like, well, they don't know it yet. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going back on the campaign trail. Ha, ha. And Trump's like, well, I guess it's important. I guess I'm told I'm going. Again, this is outrageous. No, that is not the interest of his time. It's great to have crowds out there. It's fun, all that. No, we need him engaged. We need him not worried about what Jimmy Kimmel is saying with no ratings or what Vanity Fair is saying. But again, it's nothing against it. But it's all these 79-year-old people like Trump and Wiles. They still think ABC News is important. They don't understand that. You look at the ratings and go, ABC New Nightly News, 2 million viewers. Nick Fuentes' Nightly Show, 20 million viewers. We went on Elon Musk's show. 1 billion people tuned in. It got picked up everywhere. And then Trump only went on Elon one time. Like, I was like, it's total idiocy. But it's because they still think cable TV is king.
That's a really good observation that a lot of people don't realize, because it is like a boomer thing. Trump being from television world and being 80 years old, you're exactly right. He's actually still cares about what the New York Times writes about him. He actually still cares about what network television is reporting on. And you're right. Television as a whole is not powerful anymore. It's all online. It's all digital. And at the minimum, that's where the young people are. That's where the coveted demographic is, that 18 to 35 demographic. They're all getting their news on TikTok. They're all getting their news on X. They're all getting their news on YouTube, on the internet. And you're right. They're still getting attacked by like 60 Minutes or like CBS News,
and responding
ABC.
Back, like, Trump, I'm going to sue you. And those shows are only big when he goes on them. So the only time Dinosaur Media is big is when it's online. He doesn't understand that.
No, and sadly, Charlie Kirk is the one that did understand that. Charlie Kirk, to his credit, delivered the young people for Trump in 24 because he was on TikTok, because he made a deal. And unlike the Republicans that sort of turned their noses up at it, he was there and fought the culture war among the young people. And that's the next generation. Trump was like, oh, no, I have to go and interview with like Barbara Walters or something. I have to go on like 60 Minutes and I care about what the New York Times says. He still deeply cares about the mainstream media and Hollywood. He wants to be their champion. And so if I'm him, I say you got to go hard and fast. There is urgency. You have to be swift. You have to outmaneuver and have a faster tempo than the deep state. And you need to focus on the things that are going to win the voters back, specifically the young people. And that's things like affordability. It's crime. It's ending the wars. And if you're out there running this campaign, it's unfortunately the prophecy that I gave last year, which is you actually don't have the full 4 years. You're going to have like realistically about maybe 15, 18 months, and then they're going to start campaigning for the midterms. They're going to be so busy, then they're going to lose, and then everyone's going to be campaigning for 2028, and half the cabinet will be in that position. Then you're in 28, and it's like, so you never actually get a chance to govern. And this is my problem. It's like when we vote every year, are we going to get 4 years of Trump pushing hard, trying to get victories? Are we going to get like 3 months of executive orders and then like 3 years and 9 months of crap where they're like campaigning and trying to make everybody happy and they're listening to the donors and they're just kind of sitting on their hands, stalling, running out the clock? Because that is exactly what happened in the first term. And sadly, it, like I said, it's deja vu all over again. So I think that you're right. Trump should maybe pick a few critical races where he can make a difference. And those are the races that'll make a difference for him. He should maybe do one event per week. Keep his schedule light, and he should really overclock the White House like they did in the first 3 months. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed.
We had the globalist like off balance, highest approval rating ever, magic, and they convinced him to get rid of Elon. So the second hour is coming up, and you've got other topics you want to hit. But just briefly, what future do you see, though, if Trump messes this up and then the Democrats don't just win the midterms and turn it all around about impeachment, what happens in 2028 when they get back in? Because they've said they're coming after everybody.
If the Democrats win, it's just over, you know, because, and this is the thing about the pendulum swinging back and forth. We elected Trump the first time and he failed. He failed. He totally crapped the bed. Biden gets in. And what is the first thing Biden did after that? J6, arrest everybody. We're going to hire 1,000 FBI agents, 1,000 judges. We're going to go for, what did they say? They said it was going to be shock and awe against the e-celebrities, against the influencers, against the Trump lieutenants, and they crushed everybody. Rudy Giuliani and you and me and everybody, they crushed everybody. And then they went in with the COVID stimulus, and they only gave it to their allies, women and non-white people. They said white men need not apply for the COVID stimulus. And then they came in with the vax. So we're going to get a redux of that. And just like how Trump has escalated, the Democrats will escalate. When they get back in, it's going to make the first Biden term look like a joke. When Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or whoever wins, they are coming after us so hard. And here's the difference. They know how to use the government. We do not. Their allies run Washington. Washington is like 95% Democrat. All the career political people, all the lifers, they're all liberal Democrats. They're all gay. They're all women. They're all like, you know, PMC types, college educated. When they get back in power, unlike the Trump administration, they are going to move like a hot knife through butter when they go after us, just as they did under Biden. And so it's going to be a full war on guns. It's going to be a full war on free speech, on social media. It's going to be a full war on the radical right. I imagine they're going to throw open the border to some extent. How much repair are they going to do after Trump has sent all the refugees back and, you know, changed immigration law? They're going to say, oh, well, we're open for business all over again. So I think that it's going to be fire and fury against the right wing and especially against Trump. And this time he's not going to pardon anybody just like last time. Maybe he'll pardon himself preemptively. He'll pardon his people. He'll get a golden parachute. The rest of us, we are screwed. And this is why I said on Tucker and on other shows, you can't take the fight to the left and not finish it. When you go at the king, you can't miss, because if you miss, the king cuts your head off. Like, and that's obvious. You go for the king, you can't miss, because if you fail, you stumble, they call down the guards and you get executed. Your whole family gets executed. They burn down your village. And that's really what Trump has done now for the second time. He's going for the seat of power, going for the permanent bureaucracy, going for the left, whatever you want to call it, really hard. And he's, you know, attacking them so viciously on social media, talking all this trash. And in the end, all he does is piss them off. All he does is make them angry, such that when they inevitably get back in power, they're going to attack us with a vengeance. And he's doing it all over again. And by the way,
what's the way out of this?
We have to win. And we just have to win. There's no substitute for victory. Trump has to turn it around. And if he can't, then we need somebody in 2028. Everybody is ready to coronate Vance. Everybody is ready to cry. And I know you like him and other people like him, but everybody's saying like, oh, well, Vance is going to be the next president. It's not a negotiation. We need somebody in 28 who's going to carry the mantle of Trumpism, win and finish it. Like Caesar, like the Republic is over. This is the American Empire.
Sure, well, people Democrats don't seem to get it. They go, wait, they supported Trump 10 years ago and up until like 5 years ago. But now he's not. So how is he wants Trump to succeed? You want him policy-wise to succeed, but you didn't support him to draw attention to what you thought were the problems so that you would hope he would succeed. If I'm putting words in your mouth, correct me. And so that's kind of how I see this. But we have to have an ultimate urgency right now. 1 year into this, folks, I agree with what Nick's saying, regardless, to look at how much danger we're in. And if Trump doesn't succeed, J.D. Vance, doesn't matter how good a candidate he is or what a nice guy he is, they're just going to engage in election fraud and remove him.
Yep, and they did it in 2020, and they haven't done anything to fix it. And here's another thing. The next president will preside over the 2030 census. Whenever the next president gets in, you're going to have a census in 2030. And for people that don't know what that means, you don't just count up all the people. You then also apportion the congressional seats, the electoral votes. So whoever the next president is going to be extremely powerful, because then they're going to preside over that. Like right now, they're battling this out in Texas and California, this redistricting halfway through the decade. Whoever is president is going to get another shot at that in 2030. And then they'll determine for the following 5 or 10 years how many seats there are, how many electoral votes there are. So it does really come down to 28, and somebody needs to get in who's extremely bold and takes risks. And urgency is the word. We just don't have time for like an incremental approach. And people are just negotiating with themselves, saying, well, that's not practical, that's not realistic. Well, we have to have reasonable expectations. No, I have unreasonable expectations. I'm unreasonable. And we want more. The base, America First, InfoWars, MAGA, like we want more than what we're getting.
Look how demanding our sons and daughters be brainwashed for transgenderism and leftist brainwashing. They demanded all this insane stuff. People gave it to them. We're just demanding common sense, liberty, and freedom, but we have to get aggressive. So I think it does go to the average populist, the American First person, conservative, needs to realize this is existential. What should they be doing?
I think people should be getting involved. I'm a huge believer in we need a like professional class. We need people that have gone to college. We need people that have professional jobs, and we need people to get involved in the party. We need people to run for office. Isn't it such a sad state that you look at the House of Representatives and the Senate and it appears basically untouched by the Trump revolution? Trump won in 2016. It is now 2026 in a couple of weeks. You don't have literally one congressman that is MAGA. You don't have one senator that is MAGA, because everyone that did exist is now gone. Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Greene, they're all gone. Lindsey Graham is going to have another term. John Thune is going to be the majority leader. Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson, like these have been the leadership in the House. You don't even have one. You have 435 members, and you don't even have one MAGA Republican. So I really believe there's been a failure on the part of the America First base to get organized. There's a lot of talk about doing that, think tanks and candidates and all this stuff, and it just never materialized. And so who inherits the Republican Party after Trump leaves? Well, it's going to be the usual suspects. Who's going to run? I mean, J.D. Vance, of course, Marco Rubio, who ran the first time. What are going to be the big think tanks? Heritage Foundation, Club for Growth, Chamber of Commerce. Like, this is still where the money is coming from. So I think that for people that are animated by this, they got to get involved in politics.
I totally agree. We're basically Rome in like 406. And people ask, Rome still had all the power, the military, but they had these elites that were corrupt, couldn't face a problem, brought in too many illegals, all of it, and then they just couldn't organize at the end because it was just business as usual, and Rome fell in 410. I think 2028 is the number. Each election just gets more important here on after, but we're basically already dead if there isn't a sense of urgency. And that's why I get invited to Mar-a-Lago in the White House, and I'm not trying to act cool. It's just, I'm like, okay, what's the thing? Oh, I'm in a dinner with 20 people and Trump. I'm like, nah, I'm not going. I don't want to sit there at my own funeral. Like, I'm on the Titanic and the iceberg's 5 miles out. I'm like, can we change course? You can't. It's the captain's going to tell you how great you are and eat some caviar. And I'm like, I don't want to eat caviar. I want him to get control of the wheel and avoid that iceberg. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Nick Fuentes. Hour number 4, straight ahead.
When the system plays games, from the gym to the grind to the war for your mind, this ain't luck. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power. Energy on command. From the electronic storm. Come now, take a stand.
We have something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and long, for a life of sin.
There's so much to hit. We're going to get into the Islamic Jihad that's been declared, how big a threat it is. Is it just a diversion from Israel? We're going to get into Candace Owens, who I like as a person, but I was forced to go investigate the stuff she was saying and doing, and I just didn't have to bring it to you. And Nick's got some stuff to talk about with that. But he wanted to briefly, and I think it's really important, and if he has more, we'll go to the next segment, on Brown University in Rhode Island and what's going on there. I don't know what the cover-up is, but clearly a cover-up is going on. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I saw this. Obviously, everybody saw it, this horrible mass shooting at Brown University. And, of course, I haven't talked about it on my show too much because we really don't know what happened there. We don't know who the shooter is. We don't know their identity, motivation, anything like that. But the one thing that I saw that I covered on my show is, what is this response from the FBI? I see there's videos being uploaded of this FBI manhunt that's underway, and they got like a couple of dozen FBI agents out there literally kicking the snow around with their feet, with their hands in their pocket. And I saw that, and, you know, we've talked a lot about the Trump administration and where we'd like it to improve and where they're falling short and so on. And I said on my show the other night, I think the biggest area where they're falling short is, where is the competence? It reminds me of when they did that military parade back in June, and they had people marching in the parade holding drones up over their head, not even flying them with the actual remote control, flying through the air electronically, but holding them up in their hand, walking down the street. That was your big military demonstration. Department of War, America's back. Then you get this FBI. First they blow the Charlie Kirk investigation. Now you have this mass shooter who's just gotten away. School shooter just got away, went into some building, shot a bunch of people in the face, literally walks away. They go, okay, well, rest assured, Cash Patel is on the case. The FBI is out there. We're going to do some good old-fashioned investigative reporting, or investigation, criminal investigation for that matter. They send out these FBI agents in the windbreakers, kicking the snow around. There's like 20 of them in a group, and they're kind of like walking around, looking up at the air, looking down at the ground. You're like, this is the same FBI of J. Edgar Hoover? This is the FBI of the United States of America? This is federal law enforcement? What is this? And so I think that's one of the greater disappointments, that it's just a clown show. And I'm just sitting here like, are other people watching the same movie, and what a joke the country has become, what a joke the federal government has become? At the same time, by the way, this is the same FBI that when we did the January 6th Capitol protests, these are people showing up at people's houses at 6 a.m., marching them out of their bedroom, throwing them in jail because they trespassed. You had some like grandma, you had some, you know, MAGA mom who was posting on Facebook, and they had people being marched into solitary confinement over this. Same FBI, by the way. Now you have somebody, it's a school shooter, somebody shoots Charlie Kirk in the neck, they can't even find the person. So I saw that. I don't know what to say about the shooting itself. We don't really have any information. That's sort of the point. We haven't gotten to the bottom of it. But I'm seeing these videos, and I'm thinking that's really the story by itself. This is a country now where school shooters are getting away with it. In 30, 40 years, your neighbor might be a school shooter that got away with it. You know, you've heard of like, oh, my neighbor was a serial killer and I never knew. My neighbor was a gangster and I never knew that. Now it's going to be my neighbor committed a school shooting, a mass murder, somehow got away with it. That's the country now. So, but that's anarcho-tyranny. That's the state of the country when you have a state of tyranny for law-abiding people, a state of tyranny, Orwellian surveillance, police state, totalitarianism for a MAGA mom, for a grandma in the Capitol.
Yeah, that's how real communism or totalitarianism works is good people are oppressed, bad people are turned loose because they work for the state, and that's where we are.
Right. So I'd like to see that reversed. I want to see tyranny for the criminals and illegals and globalists and lobbyists. And I want to see freedom and anarchy for law-abiding people, taxpayers, patriots, Christians. But we're not getting it. So that's more of the same. I'd like to see somebody get caught in this thing.
60-second break, but wait till you hear this.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, Nick's been talking about this for months, so have I, that we understand Trump has constitutional right. It's in our hemisphere. Venezuela has manipulated things to go in, but that's academically. Technically, we've said don't go in because the CIA and others will set you up in a quagmire. Rubio wants Cuba, Mexico, all of it, Colombia. And that's a lot to bite off there because they're already failed states. So then we own it, even if we, you know, the leadership leaves. Well, Tucker Carlson, say what you want about him. He's got incredible sources. I know Nick's had his run-ins with him. I love Tucker, but I think you can put it in the bank if he said it. Though sometimes Trump may decide to pull back because of this. It's like 2 weeks ago, about, we were talking about Gino resigning by Christmas from the sources of Serafin. That proved to be incredible. But then Serafin's like, last night on the show, he goes, well, maybe he won't resign right away just to make us look wrong. Well, fine. If we stop a war, by getting them to jump the gun, fine. So here's a story on InfoWars.com. Breaking, Tucker Carlson says member of Congress told him Trump to announce war on Venezuela during tonight's presidential address. So, wow. And here he is on Judge Andrew Napolitano's show just about an hour ago.
Is Trump going to start a war in Venezuela?
He already did.
I don't know when this program airs, the one that we're on right now. This thing's maybe live.
No, we're live now, and then okay. It'll be posted immediately. So right
so
now.
So my sense is, I don't know the answer. I've certainly been on the phone a lot about it. I have no power. I'm a podcaster, but I'm very interested. And so here's what I know so far, which is that members of Congress were briefed yesterday that a war is coming, and it'll be announced in the address to the nation tonight at 9 o'clock by the president. I who knows, by the way, if that will actually happen. I don't know. And I never want to overstate what I know, which is pretty limited in general. But a member of Congress told me that this morning. So that's what I know. my opposition to this, and I'm sure if you oppose this, they'll be like, oh, you're a communist, which I'm not. My opposition to it comes from what I've learned from watching closely for the past 25 years since I've been assigned to cover all these stories, including, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan. Like, I've watched, and there's not been a regime change effort that's benefited the United States or the world in 80 years that I'm aware of.
Well, that's the big thing, is the trillions and trillions per regime change. It's always a black hole. So we already covered this earlier, but I think there is a good chance he'll definitely brag about we're blocking them, all their ships. I think you're right. I think he'll announce we're at war with them, but then just use that as the pressure to have Maduro leave.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's an invasion. I don't think it's going to be a shock and awe. I think it'll be ground strikes, more pressure, maybe a new policy. And you're right. It'll be some, perhaps an ultimatum to get Maduro to resign, because I think that ultimately they don't really want to go to war there. I think they want to get Maduro out through pressure only. So I agree with you. I think that's where it's headed.
But they don't have three aircraft carriers there for no reason.
Well, but do they have three? I think they just have the carrier strike group. This is a classic Trump strategy. He did this in North Korea too. Back in 2017, they deployed, actually two carrier strike groups to the Sea of Japan, and talked about fire and fury and my button is bigger and it works and we're going to do things to you. This is brinksmanship. And I think that this is your typical gunboat diplomacy, which is you literally put a giant gunship off the coast of a country, you start blowing stuff up, and then you say, this is the United States of America, you have 24 hours to leave. So you're right. I mean, there is a reason they have the warships there, and that is for a demonstration of force. It's a gesture which reinforces deterrence. Deterrence is really the foundation of everything. Wars are only fought because of miscalculations. And the point of doing a carrier strike group is to say, we have the assets, we're willing to use the assets, and if we do that, then you lose. There's no scenario where you win, it is over, so surrender or die. And that's where someone like Maduro in Venezuela says, all right, uncle, you can, you will, I guess I'll just take my deal and leave. So I think that's really the play there. I still think that there's going to be kinetic action. I think there's a good possibility of ground strikes. It will definitely escalate. But I don't think this is going to be some sort of full scale.
Absolutely. Just to be clear, they had two aircraft carriers there. They pulled them out, put the Gerald Ford, the biggest and newest, in, and they have five or six of the big amphibious, Marine and Navy smaller carriers. But just technically there's a lot of ships there.
Yeah, it's the biggest force posture in the Caribbean ever, I think, is what they said. It's more warships that have ever been deployed in that, in the Southern Command, field of command than ever in the United States. So, and Trump has said that on Truth Social. So, I mean, you're certainly right. It's a massive force posture, and it's definitely going to be used for something military. I just don't think it'll be a full-scale ground invasion. That's just not enough assets, actually. I don't think they have enough personnel for something like that, because the chain of command is dispersed. If they're going to do a kind of effects-based operation, they're going to go for command and control. You're talking about invading multiple cities. You're talking about jungle terrain, huge population. You need more than 20,000 troops, or they have 12,000.
You need 20,000 administrators to take over Venezuela. It's the size of
Texas. Exactly. Exactly. So that's not an invasion force, but I think there could be there's a possibility of kinetic strikes on the ground, even though there might not be an invasion.
All right, shifting gears. I watch your show a lot. You mainly cover policy and issues, so do I. But the whole soap opera that's begun with you with Tucker and then back and forth, that's kind of blown over. Candace Owens, the ongoing thing. I like Candace. And just all the other stuff that's happening. And it seems like everybody else does it now instead of, because I don't think they have depth. I don't mean her. I mean some of the other talk shows to do it. They just want to have a fight with somebody. But I went and examined throughout since Kirk was killed on September 10th, so many of the claims, not of Candace, but I'm not trying to kiss her ass. Just when I talk about the claims, most of us other people, of, oh, a guy shoots him under the arm, or, oh, it's a camera gun, and it's a bottle of water, you can see it. And then just on and on and on, and now it turned into the French and the U.S. military and the Israelis and the Egyptians and the And she's like, I've got these planes and I've got the proof. And then multiple groups, you see it online, went and bought the data, even more data that's public. It meshes with it. Anybody can duplicate it. And most of the time, you know, she was saying these planes were here. It was actually overseas and they were another continent. So I was learning all this last week, finally forcing myself to do the deep dive on it. And when I learned days before people knew about it that they were going to meet in Nashville a couple days ago about this on Monday, I said, I bet Candace comes out and is wants to, you know, be friendly now, kind of have the cake and eat it too here. Because I knew they were going there in a 4.5 hour meeting. I know it'll be that long to say, here's all this information. You know, the claims that, oh, just asking questions, but oh, they're all stealing all the money or, oh, you know, I'm not saying Erica Kirk did it, but boy, they all sure wanted him dead. And so my issue is that it's so destructive and it became this huge soap opera where I'm at the grocery store and I'm, you know, anywhere people are coming up asking me about it. And I'm like, I don't know. I know most of the stuff I looked at from other people saying stuff didn't turn out to be true. And I know now the last straw from me last week was Tyler Robinson in court with the trans flag tie. Find that B-roll. And he just, you're watching him and he looks like Jeffrey Dahmer and he's turning around. He's all proud of himself. You know, he's laughing. The leftist lawyers love him. He had at least 10 people that said he's going to be dead, you know, in the next few days. And so I did confirm Cash Patel said no investigation into that. So there is some type of cover up going, but I don't know of what. But the idea, knowing the TPUSA people, a lot of them for a decade, I know how intelligence operations work. You don't include all these people killing him. We heard, oh, they killed him on the stage, the lapel mic, a pop-up deal, a guy in front of him, a guy behind him. You know, then it was airplanes and this and that. And so it's just not the way the world works. And so I saw all of this so destructive, definitely hurt Trump in the polls. And then I just wonder where all this is going. And then I wonder if we're ever going to get any real answers. And I know you've been a critic of Candace Owens. I just know that when one issue that is like a soap opera that can't be answered because there is questions, but then it's just this endless factory of never getting to the answers. What do you think of this whole fiasco?
Well, I think she's an amateur conspiracy theorist. I think that she's somebody who, for many years, she had other people writing her script for her. She had Ben Shapiro writing her script. She had Charlie Kirk writing her script. And it was easy enough to go and say that black people are going to vote Republican for Blexit and whatever she was supposed to say at Daily Wire. Now that she writes her own script and she's sort of glommed on to this conspiracy stuff, it's like you say, she really doesn't know how to create a theory, a conjecture, a postulate. She doesn't know how those things work. And you're right. If there's going to be some sort of grand conspiracy, you compartmentalize it. You don't get 2,000 people in a room from France, Israel, Egypt, the admin, this and that law enforcement agency and Turning Point and say, all right, everybody, so we're going to plant the explosive microphone and then we're going to do this and then we're going to, you compartmentalize it. And you probably have a handful of people on a need to know basis. And maybe it's one faction of one intel agency. That's typically how these things unfold. But this is a person who is really just looking at anything based on other heuristics like, well, Charlie wanted to audit Turning Point. So it was a cover up of a money thing. And, oh, there were some foreign people with foreign phones in the audience. So it was a foreign intelligence conspiracy. And just kind of going based on things that we've seen in the past, similar patterns, putting them all together into, I don't even know what the theory is at this point. And it's like you say.
False pattern recognition, but you're almost being too kind here. There was a sophistication, whoever, I think she is having somebody advise her, the sophistication, kind of the Q 2.0 esoteric Gnostic level of it, or maybe she's just, herself has some delusions, and so maybe she was projecting that on, but I did see some genius there.
Well, she's certainly good at what she does. It is a soap opera and it's a serial. Every day we're going to check in and hear about the crazy new thing. And you're right. There is something maybe sophisticated and Gnostic about it. I look at this guy who's been supporting her, John Mappin. I don't know why nobody's talking about John Mappin. the Scientologist, the heir to the jeweler that creates the crown jewels for the British royal family. He allegedly introduced her and her husband. He's been so supportive. She retweets him. He's writing letters to her. He was best friends with Charlie Kirk. His wife is from Russia. I don't know why nobody's talking about that guy. No one's talking about George Farmer. They all met through Turning Point UK. So you have Turning Point USA. She met her husband through Turning Point UK. She made a bag off of Turning Point USA and Turning Point UK. So there's definitely something suspicious going on there. Maybe a foreign intelligence play of its own, talking about the French and the French president and the French president's wife and France's involvement in this. So there could be some sophistication there. And I would say, to the extent that there is a conspiracy, no one's talking about the Mormon mafia. I don't believe that there's some grand conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. I think, like you say, it's Tyler Robinson. And when you saw him make his court appearance, he's wearing a trans tie. And why would he be the patsy? If they're supposed to be, if this is about Israel or some other thing, why do you pick some hick lib, white guy, pro-trans activist? Why would he be the patsy? And where are his parents? Where are the people, like, trying to defend him? It doesn't even make any sense. To the extent that there is a cover-up, it would be about the Mormon mafia, because the killing happened in Utah. Turning Point is a Mormon organization. It's Utah Public Safety that's doing the investigation. I never even heard of that on her show. She never even talks about that. Instead, she's talking about her dreams and beekeepers and, you know, almost everything else. So,
and by the way, I'm not bashing Mormons in general. A lot of them are great conservative people. But if you know about intelligence and study politics, the Mormons have percentage the highest number in federal law enforcement and intelligence. So all you're saying is, in Utah, that area, it's a zone where you could definitely, if you wanted to change the outcome of something, do it.
Exactly, exactly. And it's strange that it happened there, because that is a zone of control where they would have a lot of influence, where they have like a mafia-like kind of stranglehold. And that was never brought up, which is interesting. And I think that it's very comparable to QAnon. This is like QAnon 2.0, where all these people have been whipped up and deputized, and it's basically just destroyed people's faith in anything. It's sort of interesting. After her meeting with Erica Kirk, she did her show yesterday, and all the top comments were saying, Candace got the call, Candace made a deal, we can't trust her. But I saw many of the comments also said, now I'm just done with politics. They're fatigued. They're literally fatigued, and they are so, they have been so wound up and twisted by this whole thing. Now that Candace is backing down and walking back all the claims, now they're saying, well, I'm just done with politics because I don't know what to believe. There's no one that's telling the truth. And so there you have it. There is the proof in and of itself. This has destroyed the confidence of the people in any kind of conspiracy theory, in any kind of alternative media. Because if you have alternative media gaslighting the people, oh, it's the French, it's beekeepers, it's a spiritual battle happening in my dreams when I go to sleep at night, and then you walk it back, then people say, well, you know what? Clearly this is just too complex or too corrupt. I'm just done with all of it.
When in reality, it really goes down to not signing UN treaties, not giving up sovereignty, deporting illegals, or H.R. 3492. And guys, check, it was supposed to be voted on like the last 30 minutes to ban all transgender surgery, MTG, and the Republicans establishment, the Spider, is trying to block it, which would be a major win for Trump. So anybody that doesn't vote for this must be on the Pritzker funding. But that's a real thing. This is real action. This is what we do 90% of the time. I get accused of being a conspiracy theorist because I'll give my opinion about what's behind something sometimes. The truth is, this show 95% of the time is just legislation and what's happening in the world. This is real, folks. This is something we can do.
Well, and that's exactly it. You know, we are people that are actually trying to change the country. And then you get these spectacles that come up. This is what this is a big, giant spectacle. It is a black hole. It's like you say, it's a never-ending serial, a never-ending soap opera. And it's about basically science fiction. It's like a science fiction thriller. It's like a movie from the 70s. And it's actually doing damage to people that are trying to reform politics. And the problem is, a lot of these people, they just don't read. They don't read. They don't care. Candace Owens read one book. She read that book, Chaos, by like Robert O'Neill or Tom O'Neill or something like that. She read that one book. She kind of knows something's up with Israel, and that's all she needed to know. And now she's whipped up into this thing where everything's connected to everything. It's Brigitte Macron and the beekeepers and people wearing maroon shirts.
Let's be clear. I mean, I saw her like a year ago go, I just learned about the USS Liberty.
Yes.
And then I had people saying, how dare you not cover it? I only wrote books and made films about it 20 years ago. You know, and I'm not in competition with Candace. I like Candace. But it is actually true what you're saying. Isn't she emblematic, though, of people wake up? But you wake up and your fire alarm's going off. You don't know where the fire is at or if it's a false alarm. You wake up, you smell smoke, you still got to find it. I think they've all woken up, and so now they don't have any real context or depth. People go, well, you're 26. You've been doing this 10 years. Like I said, you were 12 into this stuff just like I was. So you've been doing it, you know, 20 years or whatever, or 18 years. So, and we're not trying to be elitist here. It's just that I know light years more than I knew 5 years ago. And the Alex Jones 5 years ago was pretty smart. And the Alex Jones that was 20 was more informed than the average woke, you know, patriot right now. So, but then the problem is I have all this knowledge and I give them complex answers because it's complex and they go, and that's what I talked about yesterday. And it got spun by the media that Jones attacks Fuentes and, Tucker. I didn't even say your name. I was talking about people that said, I mean, literally had a post like a week ago, hey, Chernobyl's leaking. This is a problem. And like a third of the comments were covering up for the Jews, covering up for the Jews. It's like if an earthquake happens in L.A., I'm going to talk about the earthquake. It's not about Jews. I'm all about criticizing Israel and Jews doing stuff. But that's a microcosm. It's not just those people. They've woken up. They've got informed about that. But that's their lane. And so to them, that's the only knowledge they have. Does that make sense?
100%. And I've seen this so many times because I operate more in this wacky space or whatever that does fixate on Jews, Israel, whatever. And it's like a red pill psychosis. It's like people can't handle it. They take one red pill and they say, oh, there's this sort of hidden truth. There's this esoteric truth. There's this hidden reality. But when they have no deep background, they have no general knowledge. They don't actually have a practical experience with this stuff. It goes off in all these different directions and people start to talk about, well, that means the earth is flat and that means that Trump is the shadow president and that means that the Khazar Mafia, that's really what it's all about. And they go down to all these different rabbit holes, all these different red herrings because you're right, without context, without that sort of grounding, and context is really key. You do need a ton of background information to understand how we got here. It's thousands of years of history, theology, philosophy, politics. You need to have some grasp on a lot of these subjects. You really need to be read wide and deep into these subjects to begin to contextualize it. And like you say, okay, we're doing a show about the Liberty. I just found out about it last year. Oh, and coincidentally, now everything is, literally everything is Israel. Charlie Kirk is Israel. The Bondi shooting's Israel. Browns is this, that, and the other. Now me, I'm going to say it's Israel, let's say 60% of the time. Now that's not good enough because the people that got red-pilled 2 minutes ago, well, they know it's 110% of the time. And unfortunately, all that does is discredit the people that are actually doing the hard work, actually doing the research, actually reading the books, doing the hard work to figure these things out that are in touch with reality. I saw a lot of people say, well, it's the Jews every other time, so it's the Jews this time. That's like the gambler's fallacy. You know, like these are just basic logic problems that people are committing because they deliver Domino's pizzas for most of their life. Now they're a red pill savant or something. So
I'm totally with you. There was a taboo against criticizing Israel. It was used to take free speech around the world. Israel's been heavily involved in so much bad stuff. We cover it. And it's good that that taboo's gone. It's totally safe now to attack Israel all I want. But I only do it when I actually see something real. And again, it's the constant frustration of like Chinese water torture where I'm like, hey, you know, China is making a move here. Why are you covering up for the Jews? And it's like, no, there's other things going on. It doesn't take away from the Great Awakening to foreign influence and all that's really healthy. But exactly, people cannot then become lunatics that only know one thing. And you know, it's like when you said, let me see the evidence Israel killed Kirk. And they go, oh, you got money. It's, you know, you got a $7,000 check. But it's also about like an elitism. Like, we're holier than thou. We're going to say actual intellectuals that are historically informed because, you know, you've debated on my show some of the best out there and you've won those debates. I know this stuff as much as you do, or more in some cases, but I don't even say it as good as you do on the foreign policy. I mean, you're knocking it out of the park, but these guys, you just say, nope, Nick's not good either, and make themselves feel good like they just got on the field with Pat Brady or Michael Jordan in their prime and beat them. But they're literally just saying, I'm better than Michael Jordan. No, you're not. And it's not about your criticism of us. It's about you growing up and being men and not just sitting around and claiming you're good, everybody else is bad. We'll be right back.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles, we've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future, we've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now, do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortunet
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Clear for everybody that seems to understand this. Here's the headline yesterday, and it got picked up all over national TV. I can't even keep track of it. I don't even really focus on that because I don't have time. I always wonder about the new news or legislation or geopolitical things. But what I said, not yesterday, but the day before, is all over the place with the headlines. Jones turns against Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes because of their Nazism, which is, again, not attacking them. They're not Nazis. It's lies within lies. And they show like a 2-minute clip of me talking about the people that said with no reservation that the attack over the weekend in Sydney against the Jews celebrating Hanukkah wasn't a Muslim attack and that it was, you know, Israeli Mossad. Now, has Israel staged false flags? Yeah, we've covered it ad nauseum. The stand down October 7th was one. The Levon affair, USS Liberty, yeah. But no, you've got thousands of imams saying they're going into jihad now. This is the phase. They quote the Quran, how Muhammad took over Medina, and after that launches attack. It's a formula. And so my issue is this. The politically correct groups you've seen, I can play montages that are hours long. Whites are inherently evil. Catholics are inherently evil. Christians are inherently evil. The family's evil. The nuclear family's evil. There's a lot of leftist Jewish groups funding it. So a lot of Americans and others get mad at that. It is healthy to criticize Israel. It should not be a sacred cow. It should not be a taboo. I just simply don't want to be somebody that lies about it and then uses it again as a black hole total diversion. So I've always said, how dare you have Nick Fuentes on back when I was being deplatformed, you know, over it. And other things is like, you can't criticize him when he's mild compared to what's taught in the universities about how the West needs to die and everybody needs to die. But then there's the issue. I can play you hundreds of new videos. We already did the last few days of in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, murder them, them marching around the Melbourne Cathedral, thousands of Muslims, very threateningly, attacking Christian displays, truck attacks, all of it getting covered up, cops getting stabbed in Washington State by people screaming, Allah Akbar, doesn't even hit the national news. So Nick said a few weeks ago on my show, he said, yeah, I think Europe's got a big Muslim problem, which is true. There's three times more of them over there than here. But he said, in the U.S., it's really a red herring for Israel. Well, it's true that Israel lobby uses the threat of Islam to distract from itself. But that's like saying somebody burns down your house, you know, or burns down the business next door to a bank to divert the cops while they rob the bank. It doesn't mean that the restaurant didn't just get burned down. So it's two different things. So I'd like you to elaborate on that and actually give us your take on it. Because if you study the Quran, it's a military takeover manual. You have the Muslim Brotherhood that's allied with Obama and the Democrats and Starmer and the deep state in their larger plan. You got the UAE and Saudi Arabia who have all their own issues that have been warning about that group because that's their enemy. But if you look at terrorism historically, it's like 90% out of the Muslim Brotherhood. So my point is that, yeah, it's not existential yet here, except you have the same alliances with the left, with Islam. And so with that combination and them as the foot soldiers, so what if they're only 5% of the population or whatever? That as a motivated group that vote how they're told, donate how they're told, look at the Somalis, you know, 8 billion stolen we know of now, is that it's cancer. So I'm not trying to dunk on you and say, you know, admit you're wrong. Elaborate on it. I get your point about it being used by Israel as distraction. But then I get all this criticism constantly every time I talk about Islam, saying, why are you covering up for Israel or whatever? And to me, I just cover any foreign powerful thing trying to take over. So whereas Israel has organization, money, control, manipulation, very sophisticated, with the Muslims, they've got a caveman book. But when humans are willing to follow an order, we're powerful. And so, I mean, I do see it as one of the main threats. So Where do you see this? What's your actual views on this?
Well, my actual view on the whole situation is, of course, we want to live in a Christian country. We want to live in a country with Christian government and mostly Christian people. And I'm not in favor of bringing Muslims in as refugees from wars or even for that matter as immigrants and setting up these enclaves. I look at, for example, the Somalis in Minneapolis. I don't know that any patriotic person can say that that Minnesota, which is a land of like Swedes and Norwegians, Finnish, that this is going to turn into an enclave of Somalians wearing hijabs. And, you know, that's all the kids in the schools and all the signs are in Somalian. The mayor is speaking Somalian. I get all that. I guess I would just say, when is the last time there's even been a Muslim attack in the United States? It has to have been years. And in the meantime, we've had all kinds of other attacks from Antifa, people that hate ICE, from transgenders. There's an assortment of threats these days, and it's not to minimize it, but it's to say, you know, we live in a time of violent fanaticism. And even when you look at the demographic numbers, I guess I would just say, what exactly is the threat? And people might say, well, it's obvious, it's terrorism. And okay, yeah, that's valid. I mean, there's certainly terrorism. But for example, this guy at Bondi Beach, that's in Australia, not America, firstly. But secondly, he was known to law enforcement. He was known to law enforcement specifically as someone who was connected to an ISIS terror cell. And so my question is more, this is frequently the case, these people that commit these acts of terrorism, even that Afghan that committed the shooting recently here in the CIA. United States, he was CIA, right, exactly, he was CIA. He worked with the U.S. military. So it's like all these people that are committing the attacks, they're all in bed with the government or known to the government. Maybe we just have the government do a better job of sniffing this stuff out. I mean, there's a lot of Muslims.
No, I respect what you just said. I don't think terror is the threat. They do that once they get a big enough control of a town to push you out. That's in the Quran. In his Medina takeover, he explains how to do it. That's why they read that and they do that. It's not just random stabbings and things. The imam tells them to do it. It's a mujahideen. The real threat is they now say, we failed taking over the Europe because we did it militarily. We're going to vote ourselves in. We're going to access the war chest to take over that way. So that's the problem, is if you get up to 5-10%, look at Europe, they're a swing vote that goes with the left almost 100% of the time. So I don't see the terror as the threat. I see them not being able to help themselves, some of the Orthodox Muslims that are doing it, as them not being able to help themselves and jumping the gun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I agree with you about Europe because that's where they're mostly concentrated. But here in the United States, it's just such a small fraction of the population. I don't consider it in that pantheon of major threats. I view it as totally secondary because the major threat with immigration is India. India sending these like people by the hundreds of thousands here. And they are true colonists because they will take over an entire business. You get one Indian in the business, they hire all people from their caste. From India. And then in five years, the whole company's India.
I mean, I, on average, like Indian people, okay? Don't dislike them for who they are, but I know the history right. And I saw this number about a month ago. I did a deep dive on it for like 3 hours. It's worse than they said. I saw like a Breitbart video. Pull up the Breitbart animation of it. 70% of the H-1B visas in to the U.S. are from India. And something like 85% are from one province who came here 50 years ago, bought hotels, bought gas stations. And it's a mafia where they have to send the money back, and then they're big on paying off politicians. And it's true, folks, any Indian business, they do the bankruptcy thing, they're because they'll work the system. You know, you go to the airport now, there's like 20 Indians that are young in wheelchairs. They're like, well, why shouldn't I go to the front of the line and be pushed? If it's legal, I just say I'm disabled. And I'm not, it's stereotypical, but it is happening. But it's that particular tribe, particular caste, is the vast majority of Indians coming here, and they're literally... Yeah, let's play this report with audio in a minute. They literally grease the skids. So you're absolutely right that these are tribal groups. Like, we think the Somalis are an issue because they're tribal and do what they're told and controlled. We're all taught like Italians, which is really Sicilians, were a mafia. This is amateur compared to the Indians. So you're dead on about this. Let's roll this short clip.
We know from decades of government data that H-1Bs overwhelmingly go to men arriving from India. And not only do they go from men arriving from India, they come from one area in India, one small area in India. So this one, if you believe that the H-1B is bringing in the best and brightest from around the world, how is it even possible that this one region in India is producing 7 in 10 of the world's geniuses that we're bringing in on the H-1Bs.
And it gets worse than that. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to back up what you're saying. Yeah, India.
Yeah, so in terms of immigration and like a demographic takeover, it's Indians, it's Chinese, it's Mexicans, it's Venezuelans. To me, just in terms of the numbers, those are the biggest ones coming here. And then in terms of political influence, I mean, you're right that Muslims are in bed. Some of these Muslim organizations are in bed with the Democrats. But again, I fall back on who are the biggest donors for the Democratic Party. It's like Michael Bloomberg. It's Reid Hoffman. It's like it's all pro.
That's another question. Why are prominent Jews the dominant group, along with Catholic Charities, shipping in illegals to the West?
Well, I think that Jewish people, they benefit as a group the more multicultural that America becomes. It's a very simple formula, which is that if America's all white and all Christian, Jews stick out like a sore thumb, and it's easy to segregate them and easy to discriminate against them. If America's completely diverse and there's all different types of people and we're liberal and tolerant and pluralistic, well, then they're just a group among other groups. So this is just a strategy. Because, of course, in Israel, they want homogeneity. They want the country to be all Jewish. They want Netanyahu to be their king. You know, they are aggressive militarily. That's how they are when they're the majority. When they're in the minority, they want America to be as liberal and tolerant and pluralistic as possible. So that's why 80% of them are voting Democrat. That's why their billionaires are putting money behind the Democratic Party. And so that's why I would say that it's really these other groups that are the bigger issue. And don't get me wrong, I don't want Muslims influencing the country. I don't want Muslims pouring across the border. But in terms of if your problem is foreign lobbying, Democrat power players, clannish behavior, ethnic enclaves, you got all these other groups you got to worry about that just in terms of the numbers are more pernicious. And that's not because I'm like infatuated with Muslims. If we were living in Europe, I would be Tommy Robinson. If we were in Europe, I would be saying, yeah, Muslims, they're doing their call to prayer. This is a huge issue. They got to go. But we don't live in Europe. We live here. So I think we just have different problems because America is separated by an ocean from the Middle East in a way that Europe is not. So they pour into Europe over a land bridge and over a very small, strait in the sea.
Rubber boats.
And then they're in Europe. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask you this question. You seem overly or somewhat optimistic. I'm going to say overly, and I'm optimistic as well. Separate from Trump, populism rising, the West rising, Eastern Europe rising. What futures do you see? Or sometimes I see you seem optimistic, sometimes you're not. Regardless, where do you see the future going?
Well, I'm not optimistic in the short term because I think there is a cataclysm that's imminent. War with China, economic collapse, this debt crisis is going to reset the currency. But I'm optimistic because the young men seem to have woken up. And some people call me an accelerationist for saying this. I really think I'm just someone who thinks in terms of second and third order consequences. Even let's say for Europe as an example. One reason that I'm less worried about Muslims is that let's game it out. Okay, Muslims take over Europe. Eventually that radicalizes all the white people, even the liberals. Because liberals are going to start to say, well, we want feminism and we want gay rights and we want to have a general climate of licentiousness, and is Muslim rule is not going to be conducive to that. So on a long enough timeline, you create enough Muslims in Europe and yeah, there is like civil war conditions, but that makes the Europeans become who they are. And I'm not saying we should do that. I'm not saying let's roll the dice. I'm saying you can kind of forecast out how that will play out. And you can see how Muslims being a very imminent and apparent threat is actually going to galvanize resistance. And I view America similarly, which is to say that as America becomes more diverse, as it starts to fall apart, the young men are going to actually be galvanized by these things. That's why I've always said America first is inevitable, because if what we are saying is true, the country's going to get a lot worse. But people are going to change their behavior. People are not potted plants. They react. And so as the country gets worse, the cost to benefit ratio of engaging in politics, of being a radical, being, let's say, pro-white, pro-American, pro-Christian, it's going to change. 20 years ago, you didn't want to be a racist because it was such a high social cost. And people said, well, why do we care about race? And it was easy to say that because race wasn't really a problem. We lived in a country that was still mostly white and the diversity had not set in yet and the demographic change was not felt. And so people said, hey man, this is like a big, happy white country with some non-white people. Who cares if they cause some problems or they're a little rude? It's not a big deal. Okay, 30 years down the line, 40, 50 years down the line, whites are the minority. Stacey Abrams is president. She's taking money from white people to give to non-white people. Like, we're at the end of a gun. We're at the end of a spear. Then people are going to start to say, wait a second, we need to look out for each other. We need to band together. So you can sort of see how the only way out is through. So I'm pessimistic in the short term. These systems and these the ways of doing things that have been the way they are for a long time, they can't go on. It's not sustainable. There will be a hard reset. There will be a true revolution in every domain of society. On the other side of that, there is an opportunity to make things better. It's not inevitable that we actualize it, but there is an opportunity that when everything comes apart, when things get really heated and hot, if the right wing has the numbers and the organization and the discipline, excuse me, we can take advantage of it, and maybe we can then control the future.
Well, what you're saying is true. I mean, after World War II, we had the baby boom. It happens in every country. When things are really good, nobody has children. Elon Musk talked about Rome was studied in Carthage. Their birth numbers were declining massively. Then they have this big war and almost get defeated, and they have this big giant boom, and then 300 years of a golden era. And this is a fact. So we're not calling for hard times, but we're in hard times. We have to bypass the brainwashing where they put you in a hard time and convince you it's a good time. We have to admit we're in this fight and start thriving now. Here's a clip of Elon.
What ended most civilizations was a low birth rate. An extended period of prosperity seems to cause birth rates to plummet. And somewhat, it's somewhat counterintuitive. When a society is under stress, birth rates increase. So if you look at, say, ancient Rome, the birth rates were super high when they were fighting the Carthaginians, and Rome's very life was at stake. Birth rates were all-time high. After they defeated Carthage and ruled the Mediterranean, the birth rates plummeted, and to such a degree that Julius Caesar even tried to pass laws like in 50 BC or something like that to give an incentive for any Roman citizen that would have a second or third child. So they were having birth rate issues in 50 BC, which is pretty wild. And that's that was also true of really basically every civilization throughout history. So it's how do you avoid this birth rate collapse?
And I've seen the studies. There's like 5 or 6 trees. One of them's out in California. Different species around the world that are in arid areas where they're up high. They're not getting hardly any nutrients. But because it's so bad, the trees are like 2,000 years old. But they've done studies with the same species of tree. Plenty of water, plenty of nutrient, grows fast, gets big, dies quick. So it really is true that we have to recognize we're in crisis. And I'm not putting you on the spot. You're 26. You're still super young. But I had, a couple kids by 26. Nick, you're under crisis. You're under pressure. You need to marry Cash Patel's girlfriend. I'm joking. You need to marry Laura Logan. No, not Laura Logan.
I don't want to talk about her. I don't want to get
Loomer.
Sued.
I'm sorry, Laura Logan's awesome, and so is Laura Loomer. You should marry Laura Loomer.
Well, she just got engaged. Did you see?
No.
It was just announced today. She got engaged. Alex, they're taking them from me. First Candace Owens, now Laura Loomer. There's none left. There's no women left for me. All my girlfriends are being stolen by the Trump admin, by Turning Point.
Seriously,
you got to fix me up. Laura, you got to fix me up with somebody. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, who's she marrying?
I don't know. Some idiot, I'm sure. I mean, I don't even know what that's all about. But yeah, there was maybe a future where me and Laura Loomer had some kids, moved to Israel, converted and all that. I'd be at the Hanukkah party at the White House. But yeah, no, she, I guess she had another guy waiting in the wings for her because I didn't step up. I didn't give her the ring.
Well, I'm going to be honest and go ahead and break this news here right now. Laura Loomer is my daughter. I'm not
joking. I could have married into the family.
Well, Nick, let's be serious. Did you know I'm actually the son of Benjamin Netanyahu?
I can see the resemblance.
Now, the funny thing is they're going to take that clip out and say it's real. I've joked before. All right, we're almost out of time. There's so many other big issues. I could talk to you all day. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. What is it like? Because, I mean, you know, it's not hype that your show's gigantic. Well, the top ones out there, you're 26, and all this stuff's going on, and the establishment's done, whatever establishment it was. This is definitely, people are not politically correct now. It's only going to get crazier from here. What is it like to be the center of that zeitgeist?
Well, I feel the weight of the moment. For a long time, I was doing this and it was just fun. It was a lot of fun and didn't have a lot of responsibility. I was just saying what I felt. And now that it's really coming down to 28 and there's questions about where the country's going to go and maybe I have a real impact on that, real influence, I sort of feel the weight of the responsibility now, the risks, the danger. People are looking to me for guidance. So I take it seriously. But it feels good because it shows that things can change. A big part of what
was... It shows the people have power. Everybody thinks they're powerless. You're a regular guy. Your pedigree's clear. Look how big effect you've had.
Yeah, and I love what you say, because sometimes we talk about this and you say that the real trick that the devil pulls is to convince people that there's no good in the world, that nothing can change, give up, it's hopeless, no one is doing the right thing. And I've lived it. You know, I've lived it. I was just some 18-year-old college kid, and I got canceled. I was left for dead, and my career should have been dead. But I just persevered. I just kept doing what I do. I kept just telling the truth. And eventually, I think through a lot of luck and hard work and people like you and others being supportive along the way, it turned into something that is now having an impact. And there's a million people out there that are like you and like me. They want what's best for the country. They have talents. They have ability. They have character. And I'm just calling on those people to just take that first step. Make the right decision. Start today. Tell the truth. Do something for the country. Be a patriot. We actually can change our destiny. Ultimately, it's in God's hands, but we can be used by God to do the right thing. And I think that, you know, hopefully that's an inspiration. If somebody like me could do it, other people can do it also, because I started with very little and I have a lot of defects and flaws, as we all do. But it just starts with, are you going to be a part of the solution or are you going to be a part of the problem?
Well, so, what the power structure hates is if they can censor us, they can twist what we said, take it out of context. They hate people actually hearing what we actually say versus what they claim we said out of context. But people should check out your show. Are you going to do a live stream tonight?
Yes, I think I will do a show tonight.
What, like after Trump's speech?
Yes, yeah, probably. So I know you're going live. You'll cover that, and then I'll go live after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to at least be on with Bannon. I may do a simulcast like 7:30 tonight and through it. So we'll be watching. Nick, you're hard to get a hold of on the phone. He'll tell you some other stuff, so I'm going to try to – I'm off in like a minute. I'm going to call you about 5 minutes real quick, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Nick. Great interview. Thank you.
All right.
All right, very thought-provoking. Let me say this. Harris and Smith's taking over. War Room, done a great job. I'm completely maxed out. I'm just going to keep winning. I trust in God that worked through you. Yeah, God does it all, but he works through us. I need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get your orders in by Friday. You'll get it before Christmas. The ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the best-selling supplements are 60% off the final days of Christmas sale. Incredible t-shirts, incredible everything, you know, ball caps, huge selection. That's what funds this operation. You do. And then we just sit here and talk about the facts and, you know, have different ideas, different opinions. It's what it's all about. But the system doesn't want this show on the air. You're the reason we stay on the air. Please do your Christmas shopping with us, and I thank you and salute those that have, and ask those that haven't, what do you think of them? These products are amazing. Take the challenge. Get our methylene blue, and you'll be addicted. It's incredible. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war. Your mind is a lock. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Brain.
something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I still can't get over it. We're in the very twilight of the year 2025. Christmas Eve, 2025. And only because of you, the viewers and listeners, despite the Democratic Party, $300 million they admit they spent in court trying to shut us down, we are still here. We still have a path to save InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, the URL, the studio, you are the InfoWar. I am the InfoWar. This crew is the InfoWar. We will continue on dauntless. We have not yet begun to fight. So, coming up, next segment, General Flynn on the deep state's operations to try to stage a revolution, a civil war. MTG on the legislation she's been trying to pass and passing, and what happened with her and Trump, and can we talk her into staying in Congress? That's coming up. And then Alexander Dugin is going to be joining us. They call him Putin's brain. They murdered his daughter a few years ago with a bombing. Those are guests like Dugin nobody else gets. You want to hear what they have to say. It's important. It's coming up today. And the globalists know we're winning. All they can try to do is get us to infight and destroy ourselves. And we've seen a lot of efforts at that. And a lot of people putting out disinformation and saying, if you don't salute that disinformation, if you don't support those lies, you're a traitor. No, we're about credibility. We're about not making stuff up to undermine our enemies, but telling the truth to promote freedom and get people to join us. But so much of this stuff we're seeing against TPUSA and against Trump is made up, and they're not even our enemies. It's our enemies manipulating through that system to do that, and I'm not going to stand for it. So we've got updates on that coming up as well. But the biggest thing I want to point out is this. I know it comes off like Chicken Little or Boy Who Cried Wolf. But you can look it up. It's on record. It happened. The attempts to shut us down, sending in armed security guards to close us, fake auctions, trying to sell us to the Onion. All that failed. And now our enemies are totally silent. They got a state receiver coming in claiming next month, next year, they're going to have a public auction. And we've got good guys that want to buy it. We'll see if they actually allow a real auction. If the bad guys buy it, that's what it is. We go to the Alex Jones Network. But I'm not holding my breath. But every day we're still on air is beautiful. And it's paradoxical, because even if we have a good auction, but we haven't had the funds to continue on, we'll shut down ahead of that and the enemy wins. And we're right there with just right on the edge of the red, in the red, every day it goes back and forth. That's how God keeps us, I guess, honest. So God makes it about you, whether or not this operation is going to succeed or not. We have a lot of new amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. Creatine gummies with the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams daily allowance every day. Not just good for your muscles, but incredible for your cognitive systems and brain. Look up creatine and brain function. You want energy with no letdown? Mix it with methylene blue. The product's incredible. Thealexjonesstore.com. And this is the big one. This is ultramethylene red. It would take hours to go and everything that's in it. This is very popular with the first two runs. We limited runs. Another run, this one bigger, thank God. It sold out in like 5 days the other two times. Just came in. Ultra Methylene Red is now back in stock, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm so excited it finally got back in because people loved it. 5-star reviews. And it just went back on the site today. It's selling very well. And that's great because we have a $300,000 underage going into February projected out. But that's okay. That's not that much money. You got all this crew, all the servers, the lawyers, all the expense. That's not that bad an underage. We can get that if you just get the products, plus they're amazing. And I just told Bigley, I said, just get the products and we'll be fine. And it's happening. So wonderful on this Christmas Eve. And I always come to you because you're who aids and comforts us. You're who funds us. You who runs this operation. You are the ones that are buying InfoWars. I always get asked, who's behind this? Who makes the decisions? Well, I do. But you make the ultimate decision whether to support us or not, keep us on air. And for that, I'm very humbly thankful. We'll be right back. Stay with us with General Flynn.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Michael Flynn is our guest for the next 20 minutes or so. He's the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, former national security advisor to the president, and decades ago predicted exactly what would happen with China and so much more. So he's also a visionary. He's a true American patriot. Everybody knows that. And everybody's been listening to him for a long time. But everything he's saying now is really breaking through at the White House to the president. Because Flynn's told Trump this stuff, and they talk. But, you know, Trump's busy. You got to stay on him with this. But now you've got the chief of staff, you have the deputy chief of staff, Miller, you've got all these other talk show hosts saying we're being approached by Trump's CIA, saying this is a color revolution, that's what the Seditious Six is, that's what all these attacks on Hegseth are that have been proven to be total hoaxes. He wasn't even in on the call, striking the boat twice. And this is all ahead of a big event, false flag, this is on Fox News now, to discredit Trump. That is the final piece. Now, this audience knows that. General Flynn knows that in his sleep. The point is we're getting major traction. And if you expose that all these heads of the Hydras, the NGOs, the Somali garbage, the wars, the borders, is all coming out of this group, the American people can get that and then get behind Trump instead of fighting each little piece of it. And so that's my summation. But General Flynn, please brief us on the latest developments, where this is going, what we need to do as the American people, and what President Trump needs to do, sir.
Yeah, Alex, thanks very much. And I'll tell you, just for your audience and for many, many that will listen to this, the only reason why we're able to break through what is happening, break through this, you know, what is essentially this color revolution that's been going on for the better part of a decade now, is because of voices like yours, and there are other influencers out there who got it a long time ago and have continued to beat this drum. So we need to keep doing this because it is working. We are being effective in getting the word out. Now, I will say, in fact, the last time I think it was on your show, I kind of laid out, you know, the essence of the color revolution and the stages that we are in, the steps that are being taken against us to be able to continue to undermine, you know, the presidency of Donald J. Trump. Trump is now starting to really understand the depth and the extended period of time that we have been that this revolution has been ongoing. Others have talked about a counter revolution. I've labeled this as a form of the CCP's unrestricted warfare, which is essentially the conduct of a war without rules. I mean, many of the things that I'm now concerned about, and one of the things that I'm concerned about, and this has to do with Venezuela. I'm really concerned that we might see, because there's competing camps that are trying to get Trump's ear on which direction we should take in Venezuela. Never mind, you know, what we're learning about Russia and Ukraine and what's happening in Gaza. We can talk about that if you want. But what I'm concerned about, and I talked to a great friend of mine over the weekend about, we talked about the Gulf of Tonkin false flag that got us into the depths of the Vietnam War, you know. And so at a certain point in time, everything that's going on down in Venezuela, down in the Gulf of America now, I will start to feel like we're being drawn into something that we don't necessarily want to be in. What we really want is what do I want? I want Maduro to be told, leave, you know, get the hell out of Dodge and then allow the Venezuelan people to bring in basically the government that they voted for, in the likes of a couple of different people. And they, from everything I understand, they have a really good plan to be able to execute if Maduro is out of there. But we have to be, and this is really for President Trump and his team, but for the American people to understand, we have got to be careful that we don't get drawn into something and a false flag is created. False flags are this is something that our intelligence community, particularly the CIA, has done a lot of over many, many years to draw us into wars that are unnecessary. We're in Eastern Europe, you know, because it was unnecessary that it happened in 2014 during the Maidan Revolution. The CIA and the State Department were a big part of that under the Obama regime. The Biden regime, all they did was exacerbate the problem. We wouldn't have any of the death and the killing that's ongoing over there. We wouldn't be where we were had Donald J. Trump been able to stay in power during the stolen election of 2020. And so, you know, that mess is still going on, but I'm really concerned about what's happening in our own neighborhood. What I don't want is the Chinese, I don't want the CCP to own beachfront property here in here in our hemisphere, right? Beachfront property in front of the United States of America, which is essentially what they do now. So what I know I'm kind of honing in on Venezuela in this case, but I'm using it as an example of these sort of revolutions and this arena of unrestricted warfare that we are involved in. Now, all that said, I have been saying for a long, long time, the infiltration of principally the CCP and mainly the CCP, but there are also elements. You can go back to, you can go back 40 or 50 years, but the infiltration into our government by Cuban elements, certainly by Venezuelan elements, but the Venezuelan elements are more tactical. They're, you know, the Tren de Aragua that we've learned about over the last, you know, this past year. Those are elements that have been creeping into our society, not since Donald Trump came into office or even during the last 4 years. They've been coming into the United States of America for a couple of decades. And they operate tactically to run these different drug cartels that have been operating in the streets of America. The Cubans, however, working with the Russians initially and now the Chinese, they've been infiltrating inside of our government for a long, long time. And so when I say infiltrating inside of our government,
we're talking about Mayor Bass of L.A. is an admitted Cuban intelligence asset.
There's people in prison right now that were spying for the Cubans. They're in prison right now. They were closely tied to people inside of our government. So this infiltration is not just some Cuban that's sitting inside of the State Department or inside of the intel community. It's people who they recruit and then they get to work for them. And I'm not talking about, you know, this many. I'm talking about lots. I'm talking about 10 times that or more, maybe 1,000 times that, because it's been going on for so long.
Well, Roger Stone, you know, is married to a Cuban lady and is deep in the Cuban community. He says like a third or more of Republican officials, including some in Congress that say they're conservative, are on the payroll for decades of the Cuban intelligence.
Yeah, it's very, very important to understand that. And so, you know, how deep does that go? How high up in our administration, this current administration, never mind the left, how high up does it go? Does it go to the, you know, the undersecretary level? Does it go to a secretary level? You know, these are the kinds of things that our government has to be dealing with and looking at. And I know President Trump is smartening up to all of this. He understands all of this. What he is learning again as president the second time is how difficult it is to break through these cement walls. These aren't glass barriers. These are cement walls that are thick and they got barbed wire inside of the cement. It's that hard to break through the Department of Justice, the U.S. intelligence community, particularly the CIA and other elements in our government. I mean, even in Department of War, there's subversives operating in there that have been.
And that's where I was going briefly. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the admiral, they said Hegseth told the truth. They called, said we're clear to fire. He said do it. He went on to his next thing. He wasn't there. He didn't watch. They talked to the judge advocate generals. They said hit the boat again. That's standard procedure. Yeah. All of that was a lie. So it wasn't just a leak. It was classified fake leak to undermine the president and the secretary of defense. That's sabotage. That's treason. Yeah, I saw Hegseth, who I think is a good guy overall, very smart in ways. Yeah. I saw him saying, whoever the Wall Street Journal sources or whoever the Washington Post sources are, Washington Post, suck. No, they don't suck. They lied on purpose. Part of the whole don't follow the illegal order narrative for the soft coup. So we need to find out who did that and they need to be charged with serious crimes. Correct, General?
I mean, 100%. I mean, this is a period of an age, even though they tried to physically assassinate Donald Trump, and he needs to be very careful, the director of the Secret Service, you know, they need to protect that man, you know, I mean, like they should all the time. But what they do and what they're trying to do to Pete Hegseth, and frankly, they tried to do it to Tulsi before, whenever there's bad news for them, and particularly the Seditious Six, what they try to do is they then try to assassinate by narrative. And this is a tactic of the left to assassinate by narrative. I mean,
it was a total lie. Like Trump saying the KKK are fine people. He said they're horrible people. They just lie.
Right. So, I mean, they will continue to lie. They will continue to target those of us whose voices matter. Those of us who are standing up and standing our ground. You're one of them, you know, and your great audience that has continued to support you. And thank God that they have, because we need your voice. We need other voices that are out there. You're about to have one, you know, I guess when Patrick comes in, today or tomorrow. But I mean, we need to have these voices right now who understand the geopolitical environment that we are in, as well as the homeland security environment that we need. And right now there's a balance that Donald J. Trump is trying to do. He's trying to balance everything that the American American national security needs to make sure that we stay on top of overseas, right? And trade and all the stuff and all the different wars that are going on, the reconstruction efforts.
But if he doesn't go after the deep state, it's not going to matter.
It will not matter one iota. That's the second part of this thing, is this homeland security environment. And I'm not talking about securing the borders or getting rid of all these illegals. I'm actually talking about basically getting in and revolutionizing our government. I mean, reforming our government, getting inside of the components of our government that actually are doing damage to his ability to be able to lead this country.
And he has the bully pulpit, as you said 2 weeks ago. As you said 2 weeks ago, he needs to address the nation. He's done it in little ways and through his surrogates. A week after you said that, I saw the surrogates go out. It was confirmed. They listened to you. They said this is true. They had a CIA briefing literally telling, you know, the media this. So that's a huge breakthrough, but it's not a one-off. It's got to be the war drum of we have these criminal group inside that's generating all these attacks. It's the mothership firing all the torpedoes. You got to take it out. So I saw you on Bannon. Can you elaborate on this? I know Trump wanted you back. I know you could do a lot on the outside, but you said, no, I'm, you know, out of this. And even when I tried to get you to run for president when Trump wasn't sure he was, you said, no, I think we're going to, you know, draft Trump. But I saw you say, won't you elaborate that you're ready, to be brought back in. And I'm telling you, there's nobody as good as you, General. And I know you're, you know, like George Washington, you want to be at the farm. I know you're out in the country fighting the tyranny, but, is it time for us to really pressure Trump, and where would he bring you in?
Well, you know, in terms of coming, you know, going back into the government, number one, you know, President Trump understands that I have remained loyal to him, you know, but not loyal to a fault. He knows if I disagree with him, I'll let him know that. And I have. He's been very supportive and he's working his tail off. I mean, the man is now he's going to go around, you know, the country and basically rally until, you know, until 2026 to make sure that we stay in the House. So he's got to do that. I mean, I, you know, am in different roles right now that I, you know, that I play, so to speak, on behalf of trying to continue to protect this country from being destroyed. And I want people to understand that this is not about, you know, the left and the right, the Democrat and Republican, conservatives and liberals. This is about a completely different ideological underpinning that the left wants in this country. And what is most concerning to me, and they call it the Red-Green Alliance, I call it the Axis of Resistance, is this coming together of communists and Islamists in this country as, you know, that are not just, you know, showing up in mosques or showing up.
They sign up with the Democrats for every form of fraud.
Everything. Everything. And inside of our Congress right now, I mean, when they did a recent vote on making sure that, you know, we didn't allow socialism in our government. It was like 92 of them voted against it, like that they voted for the idea that socialism was OK. So how many do we have? I used to say about 25%. Maybe it's more like 50%. And it's not just the Democrats. I actually think that there's probably some, Republicans in name only when you start looking at voting records. So the bottom line here is whatever I end up doing, I'll continue to do what I'm doing, which I have a passion for.
Oh, you're very effective right now. I just saw you say, I mean, we can play the clip. You're just like, well, yeah, okay. They asked me to serve. I will.
Yeah. I mean, if I serve anyway, if the president came and said, hey, Mike, you know, I'd like to have you come back into the government in some capacity. How best do you think that you can help? And I have I have a large network of people around the world as well as right here in this.
But
country.
What you have is the 360, 35,000
exactly.
Full spectrum thing. You need to be commanding the task forces to go after the deep state. Like we had Doge with Elon that you're bringing back. We need you in there as a national security roving czar, to working with Ed Martin to go after the deep state.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, I mean, I think I said on Steve Bannon the other day that, you know, they would shit their pants if he brought me in as the czar to, you know, to basically, you know, get after the deep state. You know, I looked at a video this morning, Alex, of me on Al Jazeera back in 2015 this morning. And in that video, somebody sent it to me and said, man, you ought to play this one again. I might post it on my X site later.
Please do. We'll play it or send it to me, please.
Yeah, But in that video, I was talking to, it was on Al Jazeera, and I was doing a debate with a guy, you know, the host of the Al Jazeera at that time. And I was talking about the rise of ISIS. I was talking about the threat to our homeland. I was talking about Syria and the Free Syrian movement that we now, you know, I mean, like everything that I said, it's about probably a 3-minute clip. It's all happened. That was 10 years ago. Everything that I said. And the guy was like, you know, at the time he's calling me a conspiracy theorist. Really? He's saying, no, how can, you know, you're wrong. But I didn't go on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. I went on Al Jazeera. I went into the, you know, into the bowels of hell, really, because Al Jazeera has been a mouthpiece for these terrorist networks around the world.
And by the way, one week before the terror attack in D.C. on the Guard, you said in the next few months, look for the jihadis to start hitting. Now it's been confirmed that he was in communication, very close, working with the guy that tried to suicide bomb Fort Worth. So this is now there it's come out that the shooter in D.C. he's on video. He's not a suspect. Mm-hmm. He's on video shooting the guard. That he was being commanded by some group.
Yeah. And the media, the big media, didn't want to tie those two guys together. In fact, they didn't even want to report on the potential bombing suspect in Fort Worth at all. They wanted that one to die because they didn't want to all of a sudden go, shoot, these guys, you know, what other coordinated attacks are being planned? I mean, we're getting ready to go into the holiday season here. And this
we have groups connected to them shoot up the baseball field and shoot the coach. Exactly. This is really So what are they?
Very real.
Are they probing, or I mean, you got a lot, what's happening?
Well, it's, yeah, last thing I think is it's complexity, right? What we're looking at is cause chaos, cause a level of complexity that this government, Donald J. Trump's government, has a difficult time handling in addition to all the other problems that they have. And that is a form of warfare. It is an unrestricted form of warfare. Yep, fight them economically. Yep, fight them
sabotage.
Politically. Fight them, but, you know, fight them in the information domain with whatever they got, you know, their control over TikTok and other social media platforms, but do physical things as well. Things like, you know, railroads and buses and trains and bombs at Fort Worth, or shoot a couple of National Guardsmen inside of Washington, D.C. I mean, these are not things that are just made up shit, right? This is stuff that actually has happened. And what we've got to make sure of is that in this White House, who knows about that? Who is actually staying on top of it? Is it some small cell that's briefing the president of the United States? I don't think so. And that's where a guy like me plays in. Or is it our CIA, or is it our intelligence community that we're spending, you know, God knows, $80, $100 billion?
Isn't it encouraging, and I've confirmed this, that they did send a group of CIA to tell Fox, Newsmax, and a bunch of others, hey, this is a rogue CIA group. This is all an attempt to overthrow the country, which we already know is true. That shows that Trump's starting to get real traction, which we haven't seen any in the CIA from Ratcliffe. I mean, that's encouraging. That's at least the CIA fighting with itself.
Yeah, and I think it's because of pressure by the president. I don't think it's because they've done it on their own. I don't think Ratcliffe did it on his own. I think the president put his finger in Ratcliffe's chest and said, get this shit fixed right away and start doing more. And make sure that if
so, Ratcliffe's exactly telling him he wants to hear. Oh yes, sir. We know it's the rogue CIA. Oh well, I'm fixing it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what reforms have we seen in that organization? I'm not talking about marginal reforms. I'm not talking about moving boxes around on a line of block chart. I'm talking about whole cloth reform. I mean, there's been some great ideas about what to do about it, but we haven't seen that. You know, and that kind of. I mean, these are big issues. But
sir, I don't mean to cut you off. You've got to go soon. I keep you for 10 hours. I've got so many questions. But real quick, as you mentioned this today, maybe I'm going to talk about it. You know what you want to talk about. What Trump coming out saying, Zelensky, you're basically a dictator. Ukraine's not a democracy. You're almost 2 years in after no election time because he wouldn't even read the peace plan. And so that's a good sign. So where are we going there? Are we forced to pull out of NATO because they're committed to go to war with Russia, but they can only do it with us? Well, what's happening there, sir?
Yeah. I posted the other day that I thought that basically we've seen the end of NATO. I don't think that the reason why NATO was created was post World War II, and that time frame is gone. It is no longer a defensive chartered organization. They want to go to war with Russia. That is total bullshit. We have got to seriously consider at least threatening it, and certainly considering pulling out of NATO. Now that's going to get all kinds of cards and letters into your show, and certainly death threats to me. But this is the kind of nonsense. And the European Union is NATO. NATO is the European Union. And the European Union leadership, what they do is they get together with Zelensky recently. There's a great picture. And they're all telling Zelensky, hey, keep fighting, keep going, because it's money. There's a military and industrial and security state complex in Europe, just as there is in the United States of America. And both of them are working in collusion to maintain the boogeyman of Russia. And all that's happening is Russia is falling further and further under the umbrella of China. And the more Russia falls under the umbrella of China, then we have a formidable enemy. We have a formidable adversary.
And it's supercharging
major nuclear powers.
Exactly. It's supercharging BRICS, all of it, which was always U.S. policy to not have them come together. I mean, what you're saying is correct U.S. proven doctrine. Why are the globalists going against against the West interest, even though they are fighting with the Chinese? They're only thinking one-dimensionally.
Again, unrestricted warfare, war without rules, right? So the globalists, what's happening is the globalists, and they are a strong bloc. BRICS is part of it. You know, and you go, India, China, wait a second, these guys are fighting each other.
You're saying the globalists are really doing this to actually empower China.
Oh, in a huge, huge way. I mean, in a huge way. They see China as the rising star for this coming century, and this sort of the globalist leadership bloc wants to work very closely with them.
And notice how the EU is completely aligned with China now while they attack Russia, knowing it's driving Russia into China's arms. The Russians have got to be sophisticated enough to know that, right?
Yeah, and another comment about the European Union and, you know, countries like the United Kingdom and France. These are not, people go, oh, they're falling apart, they're falling to this. No, that's exactly what they want. So if you have, you know, 10% or 12% popularity rating in France for Macron or the UK for Starmer, I mean, they don't care. They're going to continue to move in the direction that they have been directed to move in. They're not working for their people. They're working for the globalist cabal that comes still emanates out of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. We have got to continue to beat that drum as well.
GeneralFlynn.com. I'm going to twist your arm unless you've got a two-minute break. Just do five more minutes to put bookends on this. This is so important.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired. A blade where the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind is a lot. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power. Energy on command. From the electron to storm. Come now, take a stand.
We have something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexshowstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
MTG, I really appreciate you giving us this interview in your busy schedule. We can go wherever you want first. Obviously, the legislation, what's happening in Congress, this, what you've introduced here, H.R. 3492. Maybe we should hit that first, but go wherever you want. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Alex, and it's so good to see you and talk to you today. And I really want to talk about this important bill real quick so that all of your viewers know exactly what's happening with the bill and the games that are being played in Washington right now to stop it. This bill is called the Protect Children's Innocence Act. It's a bill, a signature legislation of mine that I've had introduced in Congress for years now. This was one of the top campaign promises by President Trump and Republicans in 2024 to make it a felony, criminalize the transing of children, of minors, anyone under 18. This is the most common sense thing that we can do as a country. Many other countries have already banned the ability to trans a child in their countries. The United States of America needs to do the same. And so what my bill will do is it will stop the genital mutilation of children, stop mastectomies on teenage girls. It will stop the castration of boys and minors and males. It will also stop the chemical castration of children with puberty blockers and all types of hormonal drugs given to them. This is an over 70% issue across the country among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And kids just need the right. They need the right to be protected, to allow them to grow up before they ever make permanent changes to their body. I think this is so smart and common sense, but I gotta tell you, Alex, I am today being fought on this issue like you would not believe. I have the trans mafia outside of my office screaming at me when I walk outside of my office door to go vote or go to meetings. And just, and I want you to know, it has been a hard process. I know many of the viewers are saying, why haven't they passed this bill yet? Why haven't Republicans got this done? And that is our major complaint this entire year, Alex, as we have watched failure after failure here in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives to bring good legislation to the floor that President Trump supports. My bill, as a matter of fact, he supports it so much, he signed an executive order on this very legislation earlier this year. But Congress has to pass the bill in order to make it a law. Otherwise, everything President Trump has done by executive order becomes temporary, Alex. And that means that this executive order that makes it a federal law, makes it a felony to trans children, minors under 18. That means the whole thing is temporary, and the next Democrat president can simply switch it back the other way, and then we'll see, just like we did in the Biden administration, the massive support from Democrats for transing children. These are kids that aren't even old enough to get a tattoo. They're not old enough to join the military. They aren't old enough to register to vote. Many of them that go through this are not even old enough to legally drive a car. However, this is something Republicans need to do, and every Republican needs to vote for it. Alex, we're supposed to get the vote on this tomorrow, but I gotta tell you, I am so disappointed. I'm in a major fight with someone from Texas, one of my Republican colleagues, and that's Chip Roy, who is running for Attorney General in the state of Texas. And he is trying to introduce an amendment to change the exact wording of my bill. He's trying to introduce that amendment on the Rules Committee that I'm going to go be speaking on here in about 30 minutes to an hour. And his amendment would protect Gavin Newsom's sanctuary state trans child policies and would continue their ability at all of these privately funded pediatric gender clinics. It would protect those privately funded pediatric
clinics. I believe you. I'm going to pull it up. You're telling me Chip Roy is trying to do carve-outs to have islands where they can continue to do this incredible satanic child abuse.
Yes.
That is shocking. What happened to him?
Well, you know, I have no idea. I can't understand the reasoning for it. He's trying to limit the scope of my bill and the Commerce Clause. My Commerce Clause is comprehensive. It covers every
Well, wait, the Commerce Clause, the feds are allowed to have federal charges for murder, so can the states.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
We also have federal laws on child abuse. We have federal laws on child sex trafficking. We have federal laws on all types
of
abuse.
Well, exactly. That would be like saying federally child sex slavery is illegal, but not in California. I mean, this
exactly.
is pure child abuse. I'm really upset now.
Yes, I'm upset too. As a matter of fact, I've been fighting him via text message. This all just came about. I found out about it about an hour ago. I'm in the process of trying to talk him into pulling his amendment from the Rules Committee. This was an amendment that he supported when it already went through the Judiciary Committee. This is an amendment that every Democrat wants to vote for. And this amendment, what it does is it changes the Commerce Clause in my bill and limits the scope to only institutions that receive federal funding.
Wow,
well,
so
of course
he's just
we don't
literally
want federal funding.
Chip Roy is giving
my bill already stops federal funding, Alex. My bill stops federal funding, but my bill also makes it criminalizes every single form of so-called gender affirming care for minors. Every form. That means Gavin Newsom's laws in California would be null and void because federal law, and exactly what President Trump's executive order does, it makes it a federal law that you cannot perform any type of so-called gender-affirming care.
Stay right there. We'll be right back. H.R. 3492, so important. You fought for years to finally get to a vote. It's out of committee. Here comes Chip Roy of everybody. I was like a deer in the headlights with that. I think he's a good guy. And you knew the break said, no, he's ignorant. So that's good. Let's give him and his staff and all of them the facts. What's really happening here with this amendment?
Well, so on the screen right now, you're showing Chip Roy's amendment to my bill. And if anybody is watching right now, call his office and tell him to stop this, to pull his amendment. We need the Protect Children's Innocence Act to pass in whole, in its entirety. It's already passed through Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan's committee, and it went through with full support, and now it has to go through the Rules Committee, but Chip Roy is on the Rules Committee. And so he is trying to gut the Commerce Clause in my bill. My bill makes it comprehensive, puts people in prison if they perform any type of gender-affirming care on a minor anywhere in the United States of America. This defeats Gavin Newsom, defeats California child sanctuary, child trans sanctuary laws. It defeats it completely. But Chip Roy's amendment will allow it to continue in states like California or any other child trans sanctuary state. Kids just need to grow up, Alex. This isn't about people being gay or how they identify.
No, I totally agree. But just to be clear, as you're explaining during the break, because it just broke. Explain, he thinks he's doing something better, but I even know the Commerce Clause.
This is such a misstep by Chip Roy, and he needs encouragement, especially by the people in Texas, to tell him this is not a good idea, Chip. If you want to be Attorney General of the state of Texas, we need you to be as strong as possible, and we need you to stop it completely. And he has
explain
a chance
to people like you did
right
during the break
now
to
in
me.
Congress to stop it completely.
You explained to me during the break real quick what your bill does versus what he thinks he's doing, the problem with it.
I don't know. Chip Roy went through law school, Alex. He should know better. I think he is being misled. I don't know by who, but this is a horrible decision he's making, especially if he wants to be the Attorney General of the state of Texas for the people, the great people in Texas. They want people like Ken Paxton. They want fighters, and they want someone that will stand up to Gavin Newsom. His amendment allows Gavin Newsom to continue what he's doing with these awful it's child abuse. It's sexual child abuse. It's castration of minors. It's mastectomies of minors. It's chemical castration of minors. We should never limit the scope of that. That should be criminalized on every single aspect. This is the most common sense thing to do. Let me go a step further, though, Alex. I want to talk about how hard it was for me to get a vote on this bill. Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson promised me a vote on this bill back in September of this year, and I had been demanding it and asking for it all year long now that we have a supermajority. Well, it didn't come to the floor, and it didn't come to the floor. So last week, I had to take another step. I had to vote no on the rule for the NDAA blocking the bill to go forward for a vote. And I had to hold my no vote while I negotiated with Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson is I want a date for a vote on this bill. This is a campaign promise by Republicans for the entire year of 2024. It has been a campaign promise for Republicans for multiple years now. And I had to do that and literally hold back the NDAA from going forward, the National Defense Authorization Act. I had to hold it back from going forward until I got it scheduled for tomorrow. The final vote is tomorrow. But to now be fought on the Rules Committee at the last minute by Chip Roy is absolutely insane. I just can't believe all the games that go on here in Congress. I'll go forward. I want to reassure your viewers. Once I voted yes on the rule to move forward on the National Defense Authorization Act, I voted no on final passage of that bill. And I'll tell you why, Alex. I promised no more foreign wars, no more foreign aid, and I refused to vote for that, and I have never voted for it. So I voted no on the final funding for our Pentagon, for the entire Department of War, because they have so much foreign aid and funding for foreign wars in that bill. And I just can't vote for that. I'm America first. I don't care who gets mad at me. I support our great military, but I will not fund all of these countries anymore.
I totally agree with you. So the time we have left, let me just talk about this.
Okay.
The fact that this is an election winner to get something done, more importantly, it's the right thing to do for children. Europe's already ahead of us banning it. And the fact that when I saw the news headlines, just to be mean, she's holding up the defense bill. No, you've been trying to get this done for years. And now they promised you and then they weren't going to do it. And that's what I'm told by other congresspeople, that so many Republicans act like they're for election integrity, act like they're anti-abortion, act like they're against the trans cult movement. But they actually don't do it when it comes time to vote because they're getting money. And I wonder if Chip Roy, I'm just asking the question, has gotten some of that Pritzker money or something, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And that's why I'm sad you're leaving. I'm not saying you're wrong to leave. I get it. But what was the final decision? Why did you do it?
Well, Alex, let's talk about the cost of staying in Congress. And I'll tell you the cost that I've already paid. This is the cost that I've paid to represent my great district. My office has reported over 773 death threats to Capitol Police. These aren't death wishes like I wish you would die, Marjorie. These are direct death threats that are prosecutable by law. That is what I have had to live under, me and my family. And then fighting this trans issue on children, because of that, when I introduced this bill, I was swatted at my home dozens of times, not just once or twice like some people. I'm talking about dozens of times, and received more death threats. And there have been very many convictions. There's people serving time in prison right now for threatening to murder me and then pleading guilty to it when they went to court, Alex. So this is the cost of me staying in office. But I'll go even further. I spent 6 years supporting President Trump, spent millions of my own dollars supporting President Trump. I traveled the entire country, I can't even count how many Trump rallies I spoke at. I cannot even tell you how many conferences I have spoke at, how many states I have visited defending President Trump. And I want to remind you, Alex, and everyone watching, I was one of the only Republicans that stood with President Trump after January 6th, when everybody else stabbed him in the back, turned their back on him, shook their hands and said they were finished with him and turned to support other Republican candidates for the next election in 2024. I was one of the only loyal, faithful people to President Trump. And I always have been. Now, here's the issue. Ever since he has become president, I have continued fighting for him here in Congress while he has been undermined time and time again. And I stood with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and I will never apologize for that. And I signed my name on a discharge petition to release the Epstein files. You want to know something? That is the right thing to do. I don't care about politics. I will stand with rape victims, women who were raped at 14 and 16 years old by rich, powerful elites. And I don't care whose name is on that list. I will stand with those women. And I'm so proud I did. But because I did that, Alex, literally in a matter of weeks, President Trump brings in the Al-Qaeda or ISIS terrorist, the new president of Syria, brings him into his office, embraces him and calls him a great man, sprays his Trump cologne all over him. Then he brings in the crown prince, MBS, brings him in, welcomes him in a warm reception. And he also brings in the newly elected mayor-elect of New York City, Mamdani, brings him in, loves that guy more than he can love anybody. And that was the matter of about a two-week time span that he called me a traitor because I stood with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and other rich, powerful men that passed them around
and then he
in
wonders,
their circles.
Then he wonders
but
why.
Hold on, I want to go further. You and I want to know what happened to me right after President Trump called me a traitor, and I'm not a traitor. I have a 98% voting record with Donald Trump, 98%. That's not a traitor. Let me tell you some of the other people. Just last week, 13 Republican colleagues of mine voted with Democrats to overturn one of President Trump's executive orders that takes away the president's ability to fire federal workers because they're unionized. 13 Republicans did that, and then that very night, last week after they did that, they went and put on their little tuxedos and their ball gowns, and they strolled right into the White House for the White House Christmas party with Donald Trump. That happened. And then we also have the Indiana Republicans that voted against redistricting. Did he call them traitors and call a primary all of them? Did he call those 13 Republicans that overturned his executive order, did he call them traitors and threaten to primary them? No, he did not, Alex. But you know what he did to me? He called me a traitor because I stood with women that were raped at 14 and 16 years old by Jeffrey Epstein, who is a spy and worked for Israel and worked for this country and covered up many people's crimes and covered up all kinds of disgusting things. And we all know it. But here's the problem. After President Trump, who I have supported more, I've supported him more than any of these other people that put on a MAGA hat for the first time after he won the primary in 2024. Let me tell you what happened. I got a pipe bomb threat on my house. I got a pipe bomb threat on my family construction business. We had death threats coming in. Then to top it off, like a cherry on a sundae, all brought to me by President Trump, who I have supported and helped get him elected, by the way. I got direct death threats on my own son. My own son got direct death threats all because of Trump's words, Marjorie Traitor Greene. That came from President Trump, direct threats on my child. So when people say, why are you quitting, Marjorie? I want to ask all of you, what price do I have to pay? Do I have to get killed by Charlie Kirk or even worse, watch my own son get assassinated like Charlie Kirk? No, I really want to ask the American people. I have paid a massive price and I have done it unapologetically and I have fought harder than anybody unapologetically. Alex, I am America first more than any single Republican elected in the House or the Senate, and I have laid it all on the line. But I want to ask you, Why should I try to help a president that calls me a traitor and I'm fighting for his agenda? I'm even fighting for his agenda literally right now on my way out the door and trying to hand Republicans a victory that they can campaign against Democrats in 2026. But yet people want to attack me. Here's what people need to realize, Alex. It's the uniparty. No matter who is in charge, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, it doesn't matter who is the Speaker, it doesn't matter who is the leader in the Senate. The uniparty controls the deep state of this country, and nothing ever changes. And when you, the American people, learn that and stop sitting there behind a keyboard and being a keyboard cowboy and a keyboard warrior and venting all your little comments online, your comments do nothing. Your comments change nothing. This swamp up here in Washington doesn't care about you. It only uses you for your votes to hold and control power. It uses you for your donations that you scrape out of your pocketbook and mail in to dirty politicians that lie to you.
Well, Congresswoman Green, you're on fire.
And never deliver.
You're
they
on fire.
Never change, Alex. They never change.
You're on fire. Your record's clear. Can Trump be saved? What happens in the midterms on this course run?
Well, you should be concerned, and everyone is concerned. And here's the issue, though. I am very much, this is how I feel. I only take responsibility for myself, my own words, and that's it. And Donald Trump needs to take responsibility for himself and his words. What he said about Rob Reiner, look, we don't agree with Rob Reiner politically, but what happened to his family is a horrific tragedy. It's the same thing that many American families face, drug addiction and mental illness. The president of the United States, if he said anything at all, his comments should have been empathy, and he should have thought about all the American families facing the nightmares that the Reiner family was facing every single day. And he should have strictly stuck with that and said, this is a terrible tragedy, and we are praying for the Reiner family, because there's children, right? The Reiners have other children that have been left behind in this horrific aftermath of a family murder.
Guys, I love all the good stuff.
I'm not in a cult. I am not in a cult. People that think they have to defend every single letter or word or sentence of President Trump, if you think that's what you have to do, you are in a cult. I am not in a cult. I elected President Trump. I fought for him and put him in the White House. And again, I'll remind everybody, voted with him 98% of the time. Put him in the White House because I believed in America first policies. I don't believe in fighting every foreign war. I do not believe in calling affordability crisis. I don't believe that's a hoax. I don't believe raping 14 and 16-year-olds is a hoax. And I, you know, and President Trump, I went against him on bringing 600,000 Chinese foreign students.
Marjorie, in closing, you got to come back again soon.
H-1B visas. I don't support H-1B visas, and I don't support the state moratorium, AI state moratorium, taking away state rights on AI. I support state rights to regulate and make laws.
No, I agree. Let me stop you. You've always been on fire. You've always got a great record, always gut level, know you're good. My spirit tells me that. But in closing, you got to come back soon.
I have a 100% voting record, a conservative voting record, Alex. People need to judge me by my actions and not by garbage on social media.
Believe me, all my listeners, 90% love you. What I'm saying is, some claim you were doing this position for governor or the president. Clearly, you're saying you got to have some rest from the swamp. So explain it to people. Bottom line, just what you're not leaving for some political career.
No. So Scott Jenkins, that you all see go on CNN, who, by the way, is actually a consultant for Mitch McConnell. Scott Jenkins is a Mitch McConnell consultant, has been for a very long time. I don't even know Scott Jenkins. I don't even talk to him. I don't have his cell phone number. He doesn't have my phone number. I don't call him. I don't text him. I've never met with him. This guy has been going on TV, I guess whatever networks he goes on, and he claims that the whole reason I'm doing this is because I'm mad at Trump over some governor's race or Senate race. That is the biggest lie. That is a 100% lie. I put out a statement way back in, I don't know, was it April or May, that I was not running for Senate because I don't want to have anything to do with the Senate, Alex. Look at it. It's a uniparty controlled disaster because of the filibuster.
And then Trump said he talked to you on the phone.
I don't want to be a
senator. He said he talked to you on the phone and said don't run for Senate. Did that phone call not happen?
No, that's not true. I never talked to Donald Trump on the phone. He never told me verbatim, do not run for Senate. As a matter of fact, Alex, he said over and over at his own rallies in front of his giant audiences, he was like, she'd be a great senator one day. And then at another rally, he would say, she'd be a great governor one day. But I never called Donald Trump ever and asked him to endorse me for governor or Senate. I never
did. He just went with Jenkins.
This is a lie. It is a complete lie. And it's being told by people that are lying about me, and they have no clue what they're talking about because the White House is embarrassed by what Trump did to me. And they are trying to cover up their own embarrassment, and they're trying to make Donald Trump look good when in reality, he called me a traitor because of the Epstein files. It all goes down to the Epstein files, Alex.
Congresswoman, Congresswoman, we got to go to break.
Let me tell you.
Hold on. Stay five more minutes. We got a hard break. I know the vote's coming up. Let me talk to you in the break.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, the great MTG says she's not running for governor and Senate. I sure hope she does now, but I don't think that's going to be happening. So in closing, you got to go vote right now. 2 minutes is all you got left. You wanted to make a point about baby with the bathwater, the good folks administration. Any other closing comments, MTG?
Yeah, I think the important thing for people to recognize is I fought for President Trump harder than anybody. I'm one of the only people that stood with the J6 defendants. I went in the jail fighting for them. And I campaigned for that man all over the country. I have a 98% voting record with President Trump. I have a 100 on the Liberty scorecard on Conservative Review. I am not a liberal. I am a America First Republican. And that's what people judge me by my actions, not what people lie about me and say. But here's the thing, Alex. I think going forward, people need to hold their elected officials. You need to hold them accountable. And hold them accountable, and that includes the president you voted for. I think there's a ton of great people in the administration. I really do. And I am thrilled with the border security. I could not be happier. I am loving the crackdown on the cartels. Cartels who have killed Americans, not foreign countries on our homeland. But I don't support the foreign wars. That's not what we voted for. I don't support H-1B visas. We didn't vote for that. I don't support AI data centers being built all over the country and states have no right to make laws or regulate. And I don't support Chinese students come in and taking your kids' place in a college or university. I'm against those things. And you know what I support? The president needs to be supporting the people that stood in line at all of these MAGA rallies, stood on their feet for 18 to 24 hours, camped out outside to get in. Those are the people the president needs to be supporting.
Sure.
And if we're going to be sending billions of dollars to foreign countries, none of that money should ever be used for a foreign country. That money should stay in America and make your life more affordable, especially when it comes to health insurance. But here's the thing. This, you guys, here's what has to happen. You have to realize that you're getting the same result, the same result. $38 trillion in debt is soon going to be $40 trillion in debt. 2033.
So how do we change that in closing? Because the White House knows they're going to lose the midterm. You admit they really know what they did to you was bad. So what do they need to do? Is there any way to get Trump to turn around?
This is up to Donald Trump. He's a grown ass man that can make his own decisions. He is president of the United States for the second time, Alex. If he's going to turn it around, he needs to turn it around on his own. I am tired of the excuses that it's the people in his ear. I am sick and tired of it. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's responsible for himself, his actions and his words and the policies that come out of his office. And he's responsible for the people he hires. Last time we were mad about the people he hired in his first administration. Well, guess what? He's got a bunch of people in this administration, and we can't blame them this time. Donald Trump is president of the United States, and it's up to him to put America first. That's what people voted for. And if Republicans want to win the midterms, Republicans, they need to put into action with voting, legislation, and laws that are created that bring the voters back and want to put them back in power. Otherwise, we're going to see extremism blow up from the right and the left. You are literally going to have extremists, and those are going to be the new brand of politics. Those are going to be the new candidates that are supported. And
well, that's every, right. Whatever you said, turn down the heat.
America First American will not be supported anymore.
That's right. When you said turn down the heat, a lot of the fake right wingers said, oh, you're saying sell out. No, we need to turn down the heat and come together.
No.
Incredible. I'm so proud of your work.
Yep.
This is an intervention with Trump. I'm still, you know, it's better than what the Democrats are, but I get every point you made. The media will say, I'm attacking him. You bet. I'm attacking what's wrong to try to get him to course correct. I totally respect you. Now get in there. Tomorrow's the big vote on banning them, mutilating our children with the transgender garbage. So everybody needs to call Congress. Obviously, Democrats are all for it. So we need to contact Republicans. Need to get that bill that you fought so hard through. MTG, we salute you. We love you. And I just can't wait to see you and your crew again, because I really respect you.
Thank you, Alex. I'll be happy to come to Texas in all my future spare time. Okay. Love you, Alex. Talk to you later.
God bless you. You're awesome. Wow, that lady's the real deal. Maybe she'll be president someday. For those of you attacking her, you're idiots. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We are now into the second hour of this live Friday, December 12th, 2025 transmission. It is 12:06 p.m. Central Time, coming to you from Texas. All right. Every military analyst from China, Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder. And the ladder developed in the 50s has been adopted everywhere. It's very accurate. And we're in the high 20s now. You start going up more, we're in a nuclear war. Okay. And I know most of you know this, but it needs to be recapped. The EU has said for 4 years their business model was to get a war going with Russia. That's what they started. their admitted plan. Victoria Nuland, they've all admitted it. Dozens of their economic ministers and defense ministers have said, we've played the clips, we're going to have a 20 to 30 year conventional war with Russia. We will win. They will bankrupt. We will break Russia in five parts. And their business plan, with their collapsing economy and demographics, is conquering Russia. The same plan of Napoleon Bonaparte, Adolf Hitler, and before that, the Muslims, the Mongols, it just goes on and on. This is insane. And it's mutually assured destruction. Now they're trying to steal all of Russia's money, but EU countries aren't going along with it, so now they're threatening them. Starting this weekend, when Trump called Zelensky a dictator, which he is, said have elections, because he won't even read the peace plan, that's very reasonable. And the only way Ukraine has out of this, being a NATO puppet, and put in this horrible position to create a Russian civil war is what it is. It's what it is. He's completely controlled, and he said no, he won't even look at the plan. So Trump is done. So then we have the deputy head of the EU, and others say Trump is an enemy, and Trump and America is now a national security threat because he doesn't want us drug into a apocalyptic end of the world scenario because he's not insane. Here's a few exhibits before I go to our special guest, Alexander Dugin, who's one of the top philosophers in Russia. NATO ally Denmark labels U.S. a potential security concern in new intelligence report. After Trump put out the new national security directive saying NATO is one of the main threats because it wants war with Russia. No kidding. Like Hitler? EU elites in panic mode threaten Belgium with bankruptcy or refusal to rob Russian assets. Leader stands firm against Brussels. That person better have bodyguards, folks. They're going to shoot them like FICO. EU breaks fundamental vote rule to freeze Russian assets indefinitely. Now they're saying, oh, we don't even need a vote now. Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen. That's allied with the British Empire. That's the modern Hitler. The real thing. That is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch that doesn't even know what end of a gun a bullet comes out of. The Pentagon, all of them have told him, even the NATO chief, don't do it. But these psychos want to. Dugin, C5 as the MAGA model of multipolarity. We'll get to that. Blackwater is BlackRock, a typo here. CEO Larry Fink is literally running all of this as a giant money laundering operation. So that's what we've got. We've got NATO head. We must prepare for scale of war our grandparents endured in World War II, NATO chief Root says. Ruta. Go read this. Well, guess what? They've done polls. 80% of the Europeans, Germans, French say they're going to flee. Yeah. Only problem is you better go to the southern hemisphere and still you'll probably die from radiation. But here's the good news. We'll go to Alexander Dugin. Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. No. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. We have all these allies over there, led by Viktor Orban in Hungary. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this. And we've got all these senators who want it. We've got Elon Musk pushing it. This needs to be done. So that is really good. And needs to be done yesterday. All right. Dr. Alexander Dugin, I won't go over his whole bio, best-selling author, researcher, top Russian philosopher, you know, undoubtedly, very respected and very influential. And they killed his daughter trying to kill him. He was there when it happened, another car. Absolutely horrible. There's video of it. He's strong enough to even be able to talk about it. They've persecuted my family. They hadn't killed anybody yet, knock on wood. So he is a warrior in this fight, and Russia did not start this war. And all the strategic analysis says a U.S.-Russian alliance economically would be so good for world peace and good for everybody. And that's something I'm promoting. So, Alexander Dugan, sorry for the long introduction, but I wanted to set the table here for everybody and then let you do a deep dive on this and where we are. We were talking during the break when you were coming on that you were saying this is a maximum point of danger. I agree with you that we've entered, and we need to understand how serious this is. A lot of Americans are good people. 80%+ are against war with Russia. It's even higher now. But still, it's like Russia's on Mars or something. Americans are great people, but they have one of the lowest levels of passports. They're not, on average, very informed about Russia, but they know enough to not trust our government wanting to do this. But we need to understand that those Russian submarines are right off our coast. Our submarines are off yours. This is so dangerous. This is insane. We need to de-escalate this now, right here at what could be the twilight of human civilization if we don't reverse this. So, Alexander Dugan, you're on X at A-G Dugan, D-U-G-I-N, and on linktr.ee, Alexander Dugan. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, to invite me. So, first of all, I would say that the situation you describe, it is so radical. It is exactly as you have described it. So we are coming to the possible nuclear war between EU and Russia. Both powers have nuclear weapons, and it could cause the humanity, the non-being, the global death. And in that situation, I would like to emphasize that this war against Russia by the West, by NATO, was started by Biden, by globalists, by liberals, left liberals, who controlled the United States before Trump came to the power. So the EU, actually, it is the part of the same globalist network that was controlled and led by Washington before MAGA came to power, before Trump was elected for the second term. So it is not just some initiative started in Brussels in Europe. It is continuation of the same common globalist strategy initiated by Obama, by American deep state. And now what we see, that we see now the split between Trump and MAGA, and a totally different vision of the international relations based on the realist understanding of national interests of United States of America, advocated by Trump, and continuation of the same globalist agenda by EU. So the EU is the rest, residue of the previous political system of unipolarity based on globalism, on the domination of the American deep state and maybe international deep state over the common Western politics. And now the EU, the European power, get out of the control of the Washington. So Washington, in the time of Obama, of Biden, started all this thing, started this war against Russia, started the support, unconditional support for Ukraine, in order to impose on us the strategical defeat, as they said, they formulated that. But now it is very interesting moment. The United States of America wants to get out of the mess. Trump is doing everything he could to stop that, to bring the peace, to stop the war. And European Union continues to follow the same orders, the same orders of the Washington, of the previous Washington, of the Washington that doesn't exist anymore. That is a kind of inertia, a phantom pain of when some member makes
it's like a ghost
pain.
In the machine. They admit Obama and all them ran to Starmer, set up the alternate Washington there with the EU and are trying to hold the world hostage by playing literal nuclear Russia roulette with Russia. I mean, it's literally nuclear Russian roulette.
Exactly, exactly. That is so. That is phantomic pain of the globalism that doesn't exist anymore in Washington. The Washington now belongs to totally different team, to totally different group of the group of the people who doesn't want to start this.
Who are not psychotic, crazy people like Adolf Hitler?
I think in Washington there are healthy people, normal people, but in Brussels still is the path of these totally crazy people who wants, instead of everything, to start this nuclear war. So that is a kind of deep change in the West. We have now two Wests, the American West, Trump's West that wants peace, and European West that wants war and wants mutual destruction. So that is very, very particular situation. The strategy, the national strategy accepted by United States is totally different. It doesn't regard the Russians or including China as adversaries, as the enemies. This strategy invites to concentrate on the national security, on safety of United States of America, to concentrate on the Western Hemisphere, not to intervene in the affairs of Eurasia. But
it's fundamentally
ending
America as a globalist bad guy trying to dominate the world and instead focus on our own sovereignty, our own issues, and then expand trade. It is a 180 from the globalist plan. So why is the EU so psychotic? Because in all the war games, it basically ends life on the surface of the planet. It doesn't end in Russia falling. They said 4 years ago, as you know, oh, Russia will fail quickly. Putin will be removed. They'll break up. We will take over Russia. Very provocative. That's the official statement of the EU dictatorship commission. And now Russia's decisively won. And still they're going forward. I mean, what are they, demon possessed? From your study of the EU unelected commissioners, which we know are really the leftovers of the old royalty of Western Europe, what's wrong with these people? Because it doesn't matter they want to defeat Russia. It isn't going to work. There's 100% cannot happen.
So it is obvious that EU cannot defeat Russia, cannot win us. But they try now to involve the United States of America in this war. They want to provoke the suicidal war, nuclear war, and after that to involve United States of America in that. That they could not fight against us, the months, so in the year that all Europe will be conquered by us without American intervention. So they want to start the war. They want to provoke the conflict, nuclear conflict, and invite the United States to get all the rest. So, but
of course,
suicidal.
Even if the U.S. did a first strike, all the numbers show the submarines, the rest of it would still wipe us out. So even if the U.S. was psychotic, it still can't beat Russia. We all destroy ourselves. That's why it's called mad. So, again, I understand they want to drag us in, but still that kills everybody too. In fact, it makes it worse. What is their, I guess they're demon possessed. They can't help it.
So the problem is that is not, maybe not directly about some madness or some demon possession. That is about globalism, because globalism regarded and still tries to regard the history as the linear victory of the globalism, of the left individualism, of the progressism, on gender politics, and so on. And there appear different obstacles on this way. Independent Russia, sovereign China, India, emerging from the second kind of the state to the first level power. So, and globalists, they are in panic mode, because all their vision or all their ideology of the progress is collapsing. So, and they are in a panic mode. They react. And that is the agony of the wounded dragon. Globalism, it is the kind of ideology. It has possessed.
I totally agree. It is flailing. It is losing culturally, not just militarily, economically. And so any great, powerful empire, evil empire particularly, always tries to prop itself up with a cataclysmic war. You're absolutely right. But my point is, with the nuclear weapons, they can never win that. So I guess they just want to bluff and try to put into a long, I mean, they say they hope we have a 20-year conventional war, and that just lets us politically puff ourselves up and suck off our population. Then they psychotically blow up Nord Stream, cut off all their coal power plants, and cut off their own industry. That's why I say they're demonic, because I understand the political reason, but if you pull back, they're so aggressive, even to their own people, that they're just attacking everything.
So I think that we are dealing now with a new kind of totalitarianism. We know in the history communist totalitarianism. That was communist totalitarianism. That is obvious. And there was a fascist national socialist totalitarianism, the second one. And now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values, in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda. And I think that is very, very dangerous. United States of America, in my opinion, is liberating from that. Is going out of this swamp of this collapsing totalitarianism. And Trump is the name, the symbol of the salvation, of getting out of this situation. But European Union is still inside it. So that is the problem, or ideological problem. Third totalitarianism, liberal totalitarianism, this censorship, this dictatorship that they impose on their own population. And Biden tried to do the same, over American population, to put them under control. That was a kind of dictatorship, including the United States.
Absolutely. And so there's a worldwide populist, getting back to traditionalism, common sense, and I've seen your talks on this with Tucker. It was excellent. Maybe you can repeat it later. But the logical extension of modern liberalism is anti-God, anti-common sense, anti-family, anti-tradition, which is our genetic code. And so their very philosophy is about breaking free from the bounds of God's creation. So, of course, they would try to break free and go with saying mutually assured destruction isn't a fact with nuclear weapons, and just ignore that, because everything about them is about being delusional.
Exactly. Their idea, the main core of modern liberal globalism, it is the fight against the God. because the God is transcendental, vertical, dimension of the spiritual dimension of the life, of the history. And they hate it. So they try to impose the satanic rule over the humanity without any appeal to the transcendence, to the God. And that is conclusion of the long, long path of so-called modernity. And I think that United States of America is split now on two halves. One half is a traditional American population that believes in God, believes in transcendental values, traditional values in the family, and the other is progressists, so-called liberals. They try to eliminate, to abolish any relation between the humanity and the God. They are satanic part, and you have won that in last elections. And European Union is always under their rule. That is difference. So you have already made the step out of the problem, and European Union is still in the hand of the enemies of God. So this godless, this satanic globalist groups, the circles, perverts, they still control the Europe. And that is the problem. And that, I think, that is reflected in the new line of American politics. Trump wants to get out.
Alexander Dugan, please stay there. Quick break. I want to come back and get to this and talk about how you see this unfolding, what we can do to stop this. We'll be right back. Thank you.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles, we've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future, we've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now, do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
And we are on the front line of promoting Team Humanity, a pro-God, pro-family, pro-human future. Alexander Dugan, Dr. Alexander Dugan, Doctor of Sociology and Political Science, PhD of Philosophy, founder of the Russian Geopolitical School of Eurasian Movement. Very influential, probably the most influential philosopher over in Russia and other Slavic nations. He's on X at A.G. Dugan. Be sure to check that out. Folks, I cannot hype to you enough how dangerous things are. You're at the end of an era. The globalist system has failed. It's being rejected at the granular level. And people are going back to God. They're going back to basics. They're rejecting the neoliberal modernism. And I remember 10 years ago, even before this, it was already going on 15 years ago with Ukraine and the globalists and NATO saying they would push up to their borders and entice Russia to come in. It's been a trap the whole time, but it's a trap Russia believed and I can see had to go into because it would basically be capitulation if they didn't. But they have been saying that for a very, very, very long time. I remember when EU nations that never voted to enter were going to have referendums to leave the unelected EU commission. They have a parliament, but it's ceremonial, folks. They tricked the nations into it piece by piece, just like they do with our trade deals to hand over sovereignty until it's an EU dictatorship. It's now saying we don't even care if EU countries don't vote to grab Russia's money. We're doing it. The commission steps in. So it is a dictatorship. And I know most of you know this. We have to hammer this and hammer this because the public's just now figuring it out. Trump's starting to talk about it. J.D. Vance, Elon Musk. It's the elephant in the room or the dragon in the room, as Alexander Dugan would say. So I remember Herman Von Rompuy and others on the EU commission. The royalty, he literally owns Luxembourg. So they just took off their crowns and set this commission up for themselves, saying, look, anybody tries to leave, we'll just have a war with Russia. So they've always said, we know people at some point with our tyranny are going to oppose us. Well, we'll make you go under our control by holding you hostage with a war with Russia. And they made a great movie that kind of composites this is true, on Henry VIII when he was young, called The King. And he doesn't learn till the end of the movie that his minister set up the war, did all this just to get more power, and he kills the minister at the end when he learns about it. It's an archetype of Trump when he finds out that it was all a setup, and he got all his buddies and best friend killed. And, of course, letters came out in those long wars that a lot of times the French, who were the Normans, same people that conquered England, they'd say, hey, we're having uprisings, let's have a war. Well, it was the same thing with Henry VIII, but he wasn't read in on it. Because the brother died and he had to be brought in or whatever. But the point is this repeats. And this is crazy. Okay, well, so since the Vikings conquered, you know, all this, the Anglo-Saxons, the rest of it. They've been staging these wars. Well, this isn't staged with the Russians, and there's nuclear weapons. So that's an oversimplification, but I know you're a historian on all of this. I'm going to try to shut up here, and I'm going to give you the floor to elaborate where you see this going, what you think the EU is going to do. I'm really concerned about false flags to be blamed on Russia. They're now openly threatening Trump, saying he's an enemy, which is great because that'll push Trump even more hardcore. But it just shows, as you said, the total desperation. So how do we take this dying animal, remove this oppression from Europe, and then obviously, as Lavrov said, we're not going to invade you or take over. We have more land than all of you combined times three or four. We just want you to stop attacking us. And then what would that new multipolar world be? Alexander Dugin.
So, first of all, I think that the situation is really critical in any senses. And I think that the only way to escape from the trap, from this threat of the nuclear guaranteed, granted self-destruction, it is the common understanding between Russia and the United States, between Putin and Trump. And it seems that it is the fact. It seems that Trump understands very well what is going on. And that is a good sign. So first of all, I think that we need to understand that neither Russia nor United States of America of Trump wants the war. So that is very important. If we are confidential with each other, if we have the trust in each other, that is already almost done, and we could say that almost everything is solved, saved, because I think that first of all, the real problem, it is the nuclear fight war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could limit, if we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen. Never. Because without the direct participation and involvement of United States, of Washington, I am absolutely sure that European Union could not dare to start that. So if Trump is following MAGA line, a MAGA as that was conceived from the beginning, this new strategy, the America first strategy, if Trump will follow this ideological path, that is the main reason why this Armageddon will not happen. Because we could easily stop that. We could easily limit that, reduce the threat. If, for example, there will be no total support of that from the Washington, and that is the major part of the NATO. NATO, it is not independent entity. It is the just addition to American military power, nothing more. It pretends to be something independent or to be. Rutte is no man, nobody. Rutte, it is zero. Everything in NATO, it is the American military power. Absolutely everything. If we put that out, NATO, American power, American participation, NATO will be destroyed in one moment. There will be no more NATO. NATO, it is addition. prolongation of the American military power, nothing more. Now, and it behaves, NATO behaves itself as if it's some independent entity. It's totally wrong. So if Washington would take the decision to stop this war never will happen. The same with Russia. If Russia will follow the path of the peace, the mutual understanding with United States of America, with mutual understanding with Trump, this nuclear Armageddon will never occur, never happen, in spite of all the efforts of these puppets.
And I 100% agree with you. The answer is to pull out of NATO back 6 months ago when Trump famously spanked Zelensky in the White House for lying. Trump then pulled all of the guidance systems with the satellites and blinded Ukraine. And then suddenly Zelensky ran back and said, oh, I'll do a peace deal. But then he backed off on that. So obviously the next move by Christmas is Trump's going to pull all of the guidance control of the weapon systems. And then NATO is threatened to then send in their 250,000 person army, but they don't have it. And as you said, it's just a blind paper tiger threat. So at that point, then when Trump pulls the support completely, not just the money he's already cut back, but the actual telemetry and intelligence, what do you think the EU will do at that point? Because I think we're approaching around Christmas, the real inflection point here.
I think that European Union will surrender or will comply with United States. They have no other solution. So European Union, it is the same client system as Ukraine. So if they exaggerate their sovereignty, they have no sovereignty at all. They depend totally on the United States. But the problem is who rules United States, because they depended from this globalist network, and this they depend on deep state. And the problem is how much Trump has really overcome the deep state, because we know that Obama was present in London in order to support Zelensky, in order to support all the claim anti-Trump, anti-Russia, and so on. So there is still deep state inside of United States of America that still supports somehow this European Union. And Larry Fink, for example, the chief of BlackRock, participating in the talk, peace talk with Ukraine, is a very ominous sign, because Larry Fink is the part of deep state.
Let's be clear. Larry Fink for 2 years runs the economy and finances and the money laundering. He is the head guy, and the three companies he heads up, literally the Rothschild British Empire fronts on record, control 87% of world assets. So you literally have the bankers sending in their man who's constantly there trying to keep this going. It is outrageous.
Exactly. So the problem is in what measure Trump is really ruler of United States of America. That is the problem, how much MAGA really rules United States of America. And if we could be sure that now the power in the United States of America is in the hands of MAGA and not in the hands of deep state, we could easily solve the problem of this imminent nuclear war. So that is not about us. We will behave ourselves, we Russians, in very intelligent, very rational way. We don't want attack European Union. We don't want the war with Europe. We are fighting our civil war, as you have correctly said in the beginning of our conversation. That is all. We need to solve our security problem in Ukraine, and that's all. We have no intention to attack European Union. And we didn't started this war. It was provoked. It was imposed on us by globalists.
Well, but Russia was never expansionist until the proto-globalists put in the communists and then use them for some of that. And as soon as Russia kicked it out, then the globalists became the top enemies of Russia. I know that's an oversimplification, but let me play these clips since you mentioned that. Here is your foreign minister, Lavrov, yesterday. And it's totally true. Clip 18, 19, and 21. Western Europe wants to take a pause to prepare Zelensky for a new war. Totally true. That's their strategy. Then, this is the key one, European bureaucrats are trying to prolong the conflict. That's their official policy. And this is the key. Russia is not harboring any aggression plans against NATO. Because, obviously, there's nuclear weapons. Russia doesn't even need it. 80% of your country is untapped, untouched. It's preposterous. And Russia, in this deal with Trump, is giving us clear access to all these incredible resources that everybody needs and helps us. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. That they push this lie that if we don't attack Russia, they're going to invade Europe and take over. Well, I mean, if you get Romania and the Black Sea to attack Russia, which they admit they want, well, they will attack Romania. I mean, if you attack them. So it's just unbelievable how stupid they think we are. Let's play these Lavrov clips back to back.
Our negotiations with the U.S. president and his team are devoted to finding a long-term settlement solution and the elimination of the root causes of this crisis, while Western Europe, as seen from the statement by the German official that I have just quoted, only thinks about a ceasefire in order to take a pause and to prepare Zelensky and his regime to a new war against the Russian Federation. The Euro bureaucrats, as well as the majority of the members of the EU and NATO, are experiencing economic crisis. We see numerous speculations and destructive information campaigns and fakes. We believe that the main goal of such activities initiated by our Western colleagues is to exacerbate seeking the negotiation solution and to prolong the conflict. They are trying to downplay the initiatives of the United States and President Trump, which are truly aimed at finding an acceptable solution that would contribute to eliminating the root causes of the Ukrainian crisis. No one in Europe even mentions the root causes. Our president said openly that we are not harboring any aggressive plans against NATO or the European Union. We are ready to provide written legal guarantees on a collective and mutual basis in the context of our approaches. I repeat that Russia stands by its word and we keep our promises. As stated by the President, if Europe decides to wage war, we are ready for that right now.
And that's a response to Rudé saying, get ready for World War II, Part 2. So in the time we have, other key points you'd like to make and get on the record, and if we're able to get to stop NATO, get out of NATO, cut the funding, whatever decided to be done, then what comes in this multipolar world, what comes out of that, what would the desirable aims be?
First of all, I think that we have a bit different understanding of what multipolarity is. We think that it will be the global order based on the civilizational states that exist and that could exist. So we include in this multipolarity the possible, the growth and rise of Africa, of Islamic world, of Latin America. And as long as I understand that multipolarity seen from Washington, from MAGA, is a bit different. It is the global power world order. In my course, in college course and university course that I'm delivering, I make a difference difference between two visions of the multipolarity, much more idealistic, I would say, Russian vision, Chinese vision, and as well, much more realistic vision of United States. And difference it is, in my opinion, between the multipolarity as represented in BRICS and the global powers world order as suggested by new national security doctrine, the concept of the United States of America. But nevertheless, we have all these two versions of the multipolarity have common point. We abandon, we refuse the globalism, we refuse the globalization, we refuse
the hegemony. The key is we get rid of the satanic leftist transhumanist ideology. That's the real point change.
Absolutely, absolutely. Maybe we have different understanding on what will go, what will come after that. But we agree on the essential point. We are going to stop this globalist hegemony, this agenda of absolutely anti-human world order that is imposed on us by globalists. And that is very important. And Trump understands that. Putin understands that. Lavrov has clearly said that we agree with United States of America with main points. Maybe we have some different understanding of secondary.
But notice
points,
that's why Hollywood and the left says they want Russia, because you're getting back to Christian roots and not chopping your children's genitals off. So looking at this, let's just take it from a pragmatic point. Attacking Russia, doing this, empowered BRICS, empowered the Russia-China alliance. So Trump is really just being pragmatic. He still wants the U.S. to be dominant. That, again, this goes down the self-destructive, you know, you have suicide by cop where you pull a gun on a cop. Well, now it's suicide by Russia, suicide by nuclear war. It literally, van der Leyden and the controllers of this need to be locked up in rubber rooms. I mean, they really are nuts.
So, I maybe we are not too happy with America first. Maybe we are not too happy with this hegemony of United States of America that Trump promotes, but nevertheless, we could agree on this. We could compete freely in this multipolar possibility to establish, to
defend. Because Trump doesn't want to conquer your soul like the left.
Exactly, exactly. So more than that, I think we have many points in common with Trumpism, with MAGA. So we agree on the return to the traditional values. It is the case because in Russia, traditional values are defended by the law. Putin has signed that kind of decree of the defense.
He's banned grooming children, he's banned Satanism, he's banned Soros, and now that's spreading across the world. It's beautiful.
Yes, and Trump is going the same way. So Trump and MAGA try to establish in the United States.
Well, just say Russia, I've been saying this for 15 years. Russia and Putin is pointing the way for the West, literally defending the West like it did against all the other invasions. It's true. Russia is pointing the way out of this, which I'm very thankful for.
And at the same time, now European Union tries to undermine not so much us. This war with Russia, it is directed against United States of America. It is the main threat to Trump. I think the European Union leaders, they hate Trump much more than Putin. They don't dare to declare the war to United States because they depend.
Did you see the prime ministers and EU commissions actually calling Trump the enemy now?
Yes, but and that is true because Trump. Precisely. That is Trump who is the main enemy of European Union. And I think that's number one. It is the enemy of Europe or European Union, of these globalists who still are ruling in Europe. It is Trump, not Putin. Putin is second, number two. So they fight against both of us. And that is the reason why I think Trump tries to promote the peace with Russia. Trump wants to settle down to some, to solve the problem with Ukraine, because it is not American interests. Ukraine,
it's not in the interest of anybody, but the devil. I know you've got to go. You've been very gracious. I know it's getting later at night over there. We just have a 2-minute break. We got a little 5-minute segment. Another guest is coming on, but Alexander Dugan, I've got one more question for you, and then just have you have some closing comments. This is really an important discussion. I appreciate all your time and energy, and I appreciate the sacrifices you've made with the Kiev NATO terror regime killing your daughter. So I wanted to ask you when we come back, see if we're talking about it. I mean, obviously it's NATO and other groups, Operation Spiderweb. That was preloaded when Biden was in, but who we're honing in on who killed your daughter and others? Because I can tell you without getting dramatic, because people don't want me to get into it. Let's just say security experts. We have had very serious threats directly from Ukraine. The guy they sent to kill Trump in Mar-a-Lago, Ukraine. The shooter in Pennsylvania, we now know, Ukraine. Because they're using the funding through the CIA back. And I, without getting dramatic, we've actually had them bump me, you know, come up to you in public and threaten you. So I'm interested in this because I'm, you know, want to get your take on it. I don't know if they put me on an enemies list, as you know, and many others for death. I wonder if they're crazy enough to start killing Americans. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funds or Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.